is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it.
Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod Brooks.
Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown!
There's T-Mobile.
He gonna come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins. Touchdown, Buffalo!
McCoy. Punch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
One Bills Drive, the place to be today. It is game day, preseason, but it is game day here at One Bills Drive. Good afternoon. Welcome. Our extended pregame show is underway 7 hours before kickoff. John Murphy, Donald Jones, in our One Buffalo studio here in the front end of the Ed Pro Sports Training Center. Bills, Vikings, 7 o'clock. You can hear the game on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, with the pregame starting at 5, kickoff at 7 o'clock. You can watch the game tonight in Buffalo on WKBW-TV Channel 7, along with Rob Stone, Steve Tasker, and Mike Catalano. You can watch it in Rochester on 13 WHAM TV. You can watch it in Syracuse on WTBH. Or you could come. Plenty of good seats still available for the Bills and the Vikings. The weather looks good, Donald. The setup is pretty good. I was talking to somebody today here. I get the sense, and we're deep into it, as we know. We've been at camp. Mm-hmm. How are you, by the way?
I'm good. I'm good.
I think that Donald's going to sell some tickets tonight, too, as he is the leader of the charge, right?
I'm going to try. You might catch me in before the game. I might be out there on Abbott trying to sell some tickets.
Who needs to? No, I get the sense that we're 2 weeks, just about 2 weeks into training camp, right? Today, they started practice 2 weeks ago today. In these last 2 weeks, and this is just a sense that I have, and for a variety of reasons, I think the tide of opinion has turned a little bit towards a little more optimism about the Buffalo Bills. And I was thinking about why. I think the signing of Bolden 4 days ago, big switch in the way people feel about the team. I think people watching and listening and reading about how Sean McDermott is conducting this training camp, I think has turned the tide a little bit. Look, I don't think there's a rational exuberance, but my sense is, you may sense this or not, my sense is that all of a sudden, people feel a little bit better about the upcoming season now than they did 2 weeks ago when camp began.
You know,
Am I right? You
might be right. It does.
I don't know if I'm right.
I think when I get to talk to people, people are excited about this. You know, and I remember when Coach was first hired, you had true mixed emotions from everyone out there, where you get some people like, oh, man, we got a new coach. This coach sounds, he's saying everything the right way. I can't wait to see what he does. And then you'll get, well, I don't know. I mean, you always get this. I've been through so many years of getting excited and then the team lets my hopes down, you know? So
Yeah. You
still have those people out there, but you do have some excitement out there. I'm excited about the game. Maybe I'm excited just because of, you know, I get to really evaluate these guys in live game action. I think that's why people should watch preseason games for that reason alone, not just because, or just the fact that you want to see football, but you need to be able to evaluate these guys and have your own opinion, create your own opinions.
Yeah.
Not that it matters. But.
No, I do too. And if you're into the team, and we are deep into it, but if you're a fan of the team and maybe an avid fan of the team, you've paid attention to what's going on at training camp. You've paid attention to the draft and watched some of the free agent signings, some of the undrafted rookie free agent signings. And now you get a chance, as Donald says, to see how they act, see how they perform when the lights come on, as they say, when the action is a little more real. The other thing that gets me excited, and it's a long, 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 long trek from the end of the season, what we finished, I think, New Year's Day last year was the last game. From that point to this point, first preseason game, you're talking 7 months, and it feels longer. And when you have major upheaval, coaching change, GM change, I think it feels even longer. And I know there's fatigue among the fan base. People are like, well, we've done this before, but okay, let's see how it goes. I just think over the last 2 weeks, the Bills have sort of kicked in a little bit. I think the Bolden signing was huge, and I think people, again, see how this camp has gone. By the way, a pretty injury-free camp to date. And they see how McDermott conducts the camp, how well-organized and focused and disciplined the team seems to be. None of that means anything, obviously, until you play. And I do think there's been a decided turn in the way people feel about this Bills team.
You know, with the polls that we've had in the last couple of days and the results that we've had from those polls, I think a good question for the fans in Buffalo and people that have been paying attention is, when we say, what are you looking forward to from this game, I would almost guarantee that most people would say, I would think a lot of people would say, I want to see how coach conducts themselves. I want to see this coaching staff in action on game night and see how they handle things on game night and see if you have 10 guys on the field or too many guys on the field. You know, I would almost guarantee that a lot of fans would feel that way or would say that.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Well, let's ask that question. Let's make that our Twitter poll. Let's hear from you on the telephone line. Tonight's game, the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings, 7 o'clock. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. And the question would be, and it's just one part, one way to look at it, what are you looking for in tonight's game? Our Twitter poll, what exactly are you looking for out of the Bills in this first preseason game tonight? Our Twitter poll's been up. We've got a lot of responses so far. What are you looking for out of the Bills' first preseason game? Right now, almost half of you, 49% of you, say you want to see crisp execution on the part of the starters. That makes sense. Who wouldn't, right? You want them to get in and out as Sean McDermott has said, it's going to be a quarter, more or less. Maybe it's less if they have a nice, good, time-consuming 12, 13-play drive. Get them out, right, if they're executing well. 27% of you want to see the rookies play well, including Trey White, Zay Jones, Deion Dawkins when he's in there, all of them, rookies, draft picks, and free agents. 15% of you say you want smart game management. It's tough to do in preseason. And there are decisions that head coach Sean McDermott and his staff will make during the regular season that they probably would not be faced with, you would think, in a preseason game. Critical game management decisions, but maybe you get a glimpse of it tonight. And 11% of you say there's something else you want to see. Let us know, what are you looking for out of the Bills' first preseason game? The lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Twitter is open, or Twitter poll is open at John Murphy Show. Let us know what you think. What are you looking for tonight?
In terms of game management,
yeah.
I think that we should expect them to call plays a certain way to try to set up certain situations. You know, like we want to get a punt from Austin Rico. We want to get Steven Hauschka a kick from 55 yards. You know, like you might see some crazy things that they'll do out there just so that they can set up a certain situation. You know, and that's what the preseason is about. They want to see these guys perform in certain key situations, whether that's a quarterback on a two-minute drive, whether that's a kicker, a punter. We want to see if he can, you know, pin the ball inside the 20. I mean, there are certain situations that they want to get out of these preseason games to see if these guys can handle under the lights. And so you will not see things coached the same way as you would in a regular season game.
Yeah, and punt decisions, punt
right.
or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, fourth downs, you know, a lot of people want to see if this coach has, you know, the inclination to maybe not punt when it appears that a punt, you know, is the safe play. Maybe you get that tonight. Maybe you don't. You certainly wouldn't want to see the Bills tip their hand about the way they will play during the regular season. So you might not get that tonight. But even, Donald, even to the point we talk about the game management, it's not just decision-making. Part of it, I believe, is substitutions. And they spent a lot of time, I think, I want to say over the last few days at training camp, both Tuesday and even on Monday, a lot of time, considerable time, just working on substitutions,
right,
getting players on and off the field. Look, you hate to always compare it to the way things were with Rex Ryan, but that's the most recent coach. But there were times in preseason last year when they couldn't get personnel on the field, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a fire drill trying to get players on and off the field sometimes, and it was difficult to watch.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't see any of that tonight. Hopefully they are able to substitute cleanly and efficiently. It's tougher in preseason because of all the players on the roster and all the different personnel packages they might want to use. It's tougher to handle that traffic cop role, but I would like to see just kind of a, you know, hopefully no delay of game penalties, no too many men on the field penalties, no situations where there's too few men on the field. I hope we get a chance to see that tonight. And to me, that goes to the point about game management, that we might be able to see a difference in tonight's game.
Yeah, I think the game management is huge. I think that was something that we all paid attention to, and it showed up in that second-to-last game against Miami, you know, when you didn't have enough guys on the field. And what happened? They take one for almost 100 yards on us, you
mm-hmm.
know, and really put the game or in the game, you know. So I think that's something that we all should watch, how this coach handles things. Like you said, they have been going over this stuff during training camp. And you probably will still have a situation where a guy might even score a touchdown and he's happy. He comes off to the side. I did it before. I scored a touchdown and I was still on kickoff and I ran over to the sideline. I'm sitting down celebrating. and they're calling my name, and I'm like, oh, I got to get back on the field. Like, I totally forgot I was on kickoff, you know, and you'll get those types of things that will happen. You just don't want to see it happen over and over and over again where you can't get enough guys out there. You have too many guys out there. That's not a good thing.
So we have lines open for this tonight. Bills, Vikings, 7 o'clock. What are you looking for in tonight's game? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Or via Twitter, our Twitter poll, when we ask what you're looking for, mentions crisp execution from the starters. It mentions a good showing by the rookies. And it mentions the coaching staff. Smart game management, something else too. You'd like to see all of it, really. You'd like to see the perfect game. Not likely to get that, but what are you most looking for out of this first Bills game tonight? We got a couple of tweets in on this. John N1961 says, John from Cambodia, he goes, plenty of talent, need to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. Penalties at crucial points kills your game, no question. Mike Camarado, no injuries. I repeat, no injuries. Also, progress and understanding in the revamped defense. Go Bills. No injuries, no injuries. A lot of people say no injuries. Chad Umberger, seeing how players and coaches perform, understanding it's a preseason game and guys not getting injuries, no injuries. Everybody hopes there's no injuries. You know,
is that what you're watching for, though?
No,
that's like, you're not most looking forward to. Yeah, we're asking what are you most looking forward to, and you're not most looking forward to get out of this game with no injuries. If that's what you're looking forward to, then
I mean, that's just luck.
Yeah,
you know, bad luck,
right?
For the most part. Drew Jacks, want the coaches to manage game and playing time for the key guys, and above all, no injuries. A lot of these fans are afraid of tonight's game. Maybe they shouldn't play.
They don't even want to watch.
They don't even want to watch.
Can't watch. Like if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
It's football, people. Yeah. I mean, people are going to get hurt in a football game. That's just what happens, you know, which is why, for me, watching the backups and watching the depth to see what depth we have on this team, because during the course of a season, it's going to happen, you know, and rather if it's a preseason game or the first regular season game, injuries will happen. That's just what it is.
Yeah. And you hope they're not serious and you hope you can get through it and you hope they're deep enough to overcome some of the injuries, but that's not – I won't go into this game. I mean, look, yeah, in the back of your mind, you think, wow, I hope they get through it clean, no injuries. And if they do, that'll be great. But that's not why I'm looking
for it. It's not like on the front of your mind, like,
no.
Oh,
no.
Man, I hope nobody gets hurt.
No.
You can't watch it and enjoy a game if that's the way you're thinking.
Right. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. On my list, what am I most looking forward to watching tonight? It's a tough call because I want to see all of that stuff. But I think I would put crisp execution from the starters. And it's tough to get. You know, it's tough to get. Look, we don't know if Cordy Glenn's going to play up front. He's got that foot situation that may keep him out of the game. You know, you don't want to risk injury, so you'd like to have LeSean McCoy play a little bit, not much. You'd like to have Sammy Watkins play a little bit, not much, although I do think they plan on having Sammy stay in there, according to Sean McDermott, with the rest of the starters for that one quarter, more or less. But, yeah, you'd like to see them run plays at a pretty good clip, make some first downs. That first down, it always seems like Donald is the most difficult one to get for the offense, right?
It is. The first down, I mean, it's not the regular season, but it is truly the first down of this season. You know, and it's always difficult to get because everyone's emotions are high, and just because you're out there playing football, your emotions are high. You have to be able to calm it down. And for on offense, your timing is just not there yet. This is the first time you're in live game action. It's different than practice. You know, now you got bodies really flying around the quarterback. Guys are really trying to get to the quarterback and sack the quarterback, you know. So it's just a little bit different than training camp practices are. And so it is a little bit harder for the offense to pick up first downs cleanly. The defense, they're just flying around trying to make plays. So usually right now they're a little bit ahead of the offenses.
What are you looking for from tonight's game, the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or on Twitter at John Murphy Show. John Lanigan tweets in, will you get a nap in between your show and the game?
Hey, now.
Are you reading my mind? I they're out in the other room in our green room setup. There are a couple of nice, comfortable chairs. And right before we came on the air, while the instigators were still on, I took them out for a little test drive. And I think I can
get a nap in?
I think I might just, you know, close my eyes for a half hour, you know, get to what Marcel Darius calls my zen and just focus on the game. Because, you know, we got 3 hours on the air.
Let me ask you this. How difficult is it for you? You've been doing this for a long time, but to get back into calling game mode, like, is there a I don't want to say a learning curve, but kind of just getting back used to it. Like, guys have to get back used to playing football.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's not physically taxing, really. It's
right,
mentally
right.
taxing, which is why I do plan on taking advantage of the comfortable leather chairs over in the green room in between the show and the game just to, for a half hour to close my eyes and center myself. But nah, it's just, you know, I don't know how to describe it. There's an alertness, an alert level you got to be on to
yeah.
call the games.
To call
and
games.
I have to get myself there. I think I remember how to do it, but yeah.
You're not there yet, though, the alert level.
No, I mean, this show is on autopilot for me today.
Right. So so you're going to take your nap, then you'll wake up, and you'll
be ready to go.
You'll be ready to go.
Caffeine right. helps.
That does help.
Let us know what you think. What are you looking to see? I'm looking to see some players, too, obviously. Looking to see, some guys that I've been interested in. I don't believe, and there's nothing official, but I don't think we're going to see Anquan Boldin tonight. He had one practice, really, the walkthrough yesterday, one practice on Tuesday.
Doesn't make
sense. I'd be surprised if Anquan Boldin is ready to go.
I would think he wouldn't play tonight's game. He might play a little bit next week's game.
Yeah.
And then the third preseason game is where all of the starters and those guys that are going to be on the field week one, those guys will play majority of the game, you know, and that's when you'll really see Anquan Boldin. But you know, he's really, even though we saw him the first day he was on the field, he's running with the ones, he still has to learn this offense. He still has to learn what he's doing out there. And it just doesn't make sense to put him out there.
Yeah,
right now.
I don't think we'll see him. I do think, as I said a minute ago, Sammy Watkins looks like he's going to get a full turn with the starters for however long that is, one quarter more or less, according to Sean McDermott. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, Sammy's gotten through every practice so far. 2 weeks of the practice had a little scare last Sunday when he rolled his ankle a little bit, but it turned out to be nothing. He was right back on the field after that. But, yeah, let's see what Sammy's got. Maybe, you know, we got one guy on Twitter saying he'd like to see, where is it here? Zach in Buffalo. Love to see Tyrod have some nice connections with his receivers. How fun would that be if Tyrod and Sammy hook up on a couple of nice deep balls tonight?
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be fun to watch. You know, I love to see it. I love to see receivers go up top on the defenses. We saw it last night in the game. They went up top a couple of times. And I think the fans would love to see Sammy catch a deep pass. Like, oh, man, that's what I'm talking about. Man. We're getting back to where we were two years ago,
right.
The back half of the season when Tyrod was connecting with Sammy. I would like to see him connect with Sammy. I would like to see him connect with Charles Clay as well. Hopefully Charles Clay plays. Yep. I would think that he
should play. Yep.
Yeah, and I would like to see him connect with him and then Zay as well. You know, I want to see Zay get rolling in this offense and see if they have a rapport, he and Tyrod.
Got a caller on the line who has some thoughts on Charles Clay, Peter in Wheatfield. Hello, Peter. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. Thank you for answering my call. I was just thinking that, Charles Clay is a great tight end, and I think we don't use him enough. And, I'm glad we have Anquan Boldin and Sammy Watkins, and I think they have a great receiving core and all, but I think they should enroll Charles Clay a little bit more in this offense because he's a great player, and I just want to know what you guys thought about that.
What do you think about that, Donald?
I think I've been saying that since last year when I came on this show. Like, man, they need to use Charles Clay more. I think he's a weapon in this offense. I think that he can be one of the best tight ends in the game. Number one, if he can stay healthy with that knee. But number two, if they use him a lot more. And it's not even a lot more. Like, if he catches 50 passes, he caught, 50-plus passes last year? If he catches the same amount of passes, just different types of passes where he's able to actually showcase his athleticism, you know, like get him in space like he's a wide receiver. Don't just have him running curl routes and hitch routes and things like that. Let him move because he can move. He can catch the ball. He can run. He can score touchdowns and be a true weapon and not just a security blanket for Tyrod.
I'm looking to down the line, though, at some of the other tight ends who, I mean, we know who Charles Clay is, and mm-hmm. we have a sense of what he might be able to do for the Bills' offense this year, but I'm looking forward to see what Logan Thomas has in this game as a tight end, you know, the converted quarterback. I think he's had some good moments at camp, but this is a different story here, and this conversion project for him is still on. The tight end depth chart is interesting, Donald. I think, obviously, you've got Clay on top. Many people believe Nick O'Leary, because of his blocking, will find a roster spot here, the former draft pick a couple of years ago. But Logan Thomas, I think, is the wild card here with what he's done through a couple of weeks of training camp and some of the impressions he made. I think me and I think very many members of the coaching staff and personnel department are saying, okay, let's see, how far along is this conversion from quarterback to tight end? We'll get a little more evidence on that tonight.
Yeah, Logan Thomas is a guy that I want to see. I mean, he's looked good in practice, you know, and if he can come out here and make plays in the game, he's just such a physical specimen out there. I mean, he's tall, he's athletic, he can run. You see him make crazy catches in practice. He has big hands, and now making this transition from quarterback to tight end, just that story alone makes you want to watch the guy. But because he's looked so good in practice, that makes me want to watch to see if he can make that transition from practice player to now playing in the games.
And, of course, with Thomas and very many of these guys trying to make impressions when they are on the field, they'll be playing not only with backups, second and third teamers, but against backups for the most part.
For the most part.
You went through that as a rookie, right?
Yeah, as a
rookie. How difficult is it to make an impression when – you know, I'm not going to say the word scrubs, but, they're not starters out there.
You know, it's very hard because when you get in, obviously I came in undrafted, so I was with the third team.
Right. You were with the scrubs.
Yeah, I was with the scrubs.
There, I said it.
And when you're running with the third team, I mean, the offensive line, for a receiver, the offensive line is usually not that good. So the quarterbacks can't even get the ball off, you know. You can't run the ball. And so most of the time the quarterbacks are not that good where they can get you the ball consistently. So as a receiver, it's really scary out there because it's like, man, if you throw it, where's he going to throw it? I don't even know if he's going to lead me into somebody, but you just got to make plays out there. When you get your opportunity, if it's one time you get a pass thrown your way, make the most of it. Even if it's a 10-yard catch, make it look good.
Was there one play in a preseason game that you thought helped lock down your roster spot in that rookie year?
There were a few plays in every game. Not the first game. The first game, I was terrible. I sucked in the first game.
Who did you play against? You remember?
The Redskins down in Washington.
Okay.
And then we played – I don't know if you remember. I think we played a preseason game up in Toronto that year, my rookie year.
Yeah,
against the Colts.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, against the Colts. And I remember there was one where I came down – and I had a crackback, and I got the crackback on either a linebacker or a defensive end. And I blasted this dude and laid him out. And I remember the coaches loved that. And then they were like, they moved me up to like the twos at this point. Now, the entire time I was playing special teams, and I was making plays on special teams. And that was another reason why I moved up to the twos. I didn't really make plays on offense. I caught a couple of passes, but all of my plays were tackles on special teams.
Do you think you made the roster as an undrafted rookie free agent back in 2010 because of
special
your
special teams?
Oh, I was going to say
because of special teams. That was it.
And was it more in preseason games or during practices?
It started off in practices because I would go to Bruce DeHaven and I would say, Coach, I think I would say, listen, I'm going to take over that gunner spot. And I went to him every single day and told him I'm going to take over that gunner spot.
You can't talk your way onto the roster.
You can't. But what you can do is. You can – because for the most part, there's so many guys on the roster. If I don't say anything to him, then I'm just another dude out there.
Right.
You know? But if I'm saying things to him every day, he's looking out. Like, all right, this dude, he sounds like he wants to do this.
What
you know?
Did Bruce
so he's
say
looking
when you
out.
Brought that up?
Bruce was like, all right, like, I want to see – you know, let me see you do it out there on the field.
Yeah.
And we got in practice, and it was Jarius Byrd and George Wilson going against me at the gunner spot. And they knew what they were doing, and I beat them both, you know. And then they put me in a game. Against Washington, it was terrible. It was bad. Like, I remember I couldn't even get off the jam at all. And then in the second preseason game, I learned a little bit more. Yeah, in Toronto, I learned a little bit more, and I killed those guys. And then we moved on to the next preseason game. I don't remember who that one was against. And I was on kickoff, and I made a couple of tackles on kickoff. And that was when I solidified my spot, that third preseason game. I solidified
it. It's hard to do when you're not with the ones, right?
Yeah, when you're not running with the ones on offense or defense and it's just special teams, it really is hard to make the team. But that's why I was like going to him every day because at the end of the day, if you can get the special teams coach to really like you and believe that you can be a core special teams player, he will make a case for you to make this team. You know, and most undrafted guys, it's like, yeah, this guy is probably making a strong case for the practice squad. I mean, you see it all the time. This guy's making a strong case for the practice squad. They were like, no, I need him on the team. Like, I need him on the special teams. And so that's why I made the roster, the 53.
I was just looking up that preseason. You're right. The opener was at Washington. The Bills got blasted in that game. And then Toronto beat the Colts. And then home against the Bengals.
The Bengals, yeah. Yep. It was against the Bengals.
And then, of course, finishing up against Detroit.
In that third preseason game against the Bengals, I remember I was matched up against Pac-Man Jones. And I caught a couple of passes on him. And then he got hurt. He tried to hit me and hurt himself. And then I made a few plays on special teams as well. And that was when I solidified my spot because the last one was against Detroit. And, I mean, at that point, the coaching staff had already given me signs that I was going to be on the team. I had already solidified my spot. I was running now with the ones on special teams, and I was running with the twos on offense. So I knew I had moved up the depth chart, and I was in good position.
How do you,
my son, who was here today, by that last preseason game, which was August 24th, I had to go home to see him be born. So I was gone for like 3 days. And I remember the coaching staff was like, you're in good shape right now, so you can go ahead at home. So I was happy about that, that they let me go.
You got a birthday coming up, Kanye.
Yeah, he has a birthday coming up.
7 years old?
7 years old, August 24th.
All right, let's talk. What do you want to see in this first preseason game? Let's take a break here. We'll get back into more of this conversation. Donald and I are going to talk about some of the players that we're looking to. We can go right down the roster, some of the players we're interested in seeing how they perform. We'll also tell you whose stock we think has gone up. On the show today, I never even did this, Steve Tasker, who's calling the game on the Bills television side, the preseason game tonight. Steve Tasker will join us in studio at 1 o'clock. And the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen, will join us at 2 to preview the opponent. So we got a lot of ground to cover. We'd love to hear from you. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to your call in a moment. Or you can give us a call at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The preseason opener, 7 o'clock tonight, right here at New Era Field. We'll be back to talk more about that when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hey, Mayor.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to One Bills Drive. When you pulled in here today, Donald, you could feel the game day buzz, couldn't you? Right at the
yeah,
gate.
You could.
Couldn't you?
Yeah,
I love
you, you can feel it. Like, it just seems like there's more people here today than
yeah.
normal. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's probably people in there getting food ready and all types of stuff for the game.
Yeah.
Some beers.
Don't get started. Relax.
Will you have one before your nap?
No.
Or, okay.
No.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Never know.
What are you looking for most about tonight's preseason opener? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. John calling from his cell phone. Hello, John. Welcome. You're on the air. Hello, John, on a cell phone. John, pick the phone up. He's there.
Hey, John.
John, last call for John on the cell phone. John, going once, going twice. Here is Sal in Wheatfield. Hi, Sal. Welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for being there.
I haven't heard anybody ask this yet. God forbid something happens to Tyrod in week one and he's down, just say, for the season. What is their backup plan at this team forward?
Well, T.J. Yates and Nathan Peterman, one of those two. I think Yates provides a security blanket, a guy who's played in the league, and a guy who's won a playoff game for the Houston Texans. He has not been especially impressive in preseason, but he has played in the league. And Nathan Peterman, the draft pick, right, the fifth round pick.
Right.
I think Peterman's going to get a lot of snaps tonight. And I think the coaching staff is thinking that maybe they want to give Peterman a chance to show if he could be the number two. And some of that would come tonight, I would think. Again, another guy who will play with backups and play against backups. But I think he has an opportunity tonight and next Thursday and probably the next couple of weeks to make a run for the number two job here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he has a strong opportunity to make a run for the backup job. The fact of the matter is, you do come in and you play against backups. Because you are a backup, because you were a late draft pick, or you're a rookie, or undrafted, or something like that. Just someone trying to make the team, and you have to stand out. You have to be above the rest of the backups. I mean, you got to be better than the best scrub of the scrubs. That's how you got to be, If you are, then you'll move up to the twos, you'll move up to the ones, and then they'll give you a shot to see if you can really perform on this level. And if so, you'll make the team, and they have confidence in you to put you in the game. So, yeah, I think Nathan Peterman is going to get his shot. T.J. Yates is going to play a lot as well, and I think it's really his spot to lose, and he really needs to come out here and perform.
The number two spot?
The number two, I think, is his to lose.
So if they line up and play this week, he's your number
two. I would think he would be your number two quarterback, yeah.
That might be. A couple of tweets on this. What are you looking for from tonight's preseason opener? Chris Pearson tweets in, I want to see Nathan Peterman make smart decisions and manage the quarterback role and not look like a lost rookie. Yeah, at the bare minimum, hopefully. I don't think he'd ever look lost. I think with his smarts and his command of the offense, I don't think he'd ever look lost. His limitations, I believe, might be more physical than mental. I don't think he would look lost.
I don't think he would look lost either. I mean, he's played at two big-time programs in pro-style offenses. I don't think he's going to look lost out there. I think he's smart, so he's going to understand the offense. It's really just getting out there and making some throws. And once he gets comfortable, once he gets – one throw under his belt. Like, I think with a guy like Nathan Peterman, you should get, like, a screen throw, something easy, a hitch on the outside so that he can just get one throw under his belt, a swing pass or something like that, and then next thing you know, he's starting to feel comfortable, and he'll start to make more throws.
Chris Pearson also goes on in his tweet, also looking at running back Jonathan Williams. The backup running back thing is going to be interesting. I do think Jonathan Williams, over the last 2 weeks of training camp, has done a pretty good job of staking his claim on it. I don't think it's locked down yet. And I think there are going to be guys playing tonight who may not be household names, but guys who want to be part of the mix at backup running back. Joe Banyard, you know, he's got a little experience in the league. Joe Banyard has had, I think, some pretty good moments at camp.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a big fan of Cedric O'Neal, the rookie from Valdosta State, who had huge numbers at that D2 school. Number 44, you know, he's a short little guy with extremely quick feet, and he's like a fireplug guy. I'm interested to see what O'Neal has tonight. Jordan Johnson, the local product. Tawan Jones just picked up right before training camp.
Yeah. I think
he's a special teamer guy.
He's a special teamer guy, but they want to get him on offense, I would think, to see, you know, is he here just for special teams, or can you play some offense as well?
I think they want to see, yeah.
Yeah, and right? the guy is a burner. He can run. I think he's going to get some chances to shine. He probably will catch some passes out of the backfield. Let's see what you could do with the ball in space, you know.
Yeah.
I think, for me, I root for a guy like Jordan Johnson just because of, you know, the type of kid that he seems to be.
Yeah.
And for him being a local product, you know, I'm sure his family is going to be there, and he's probably going to have a lot of family there because he's right from Rochester.
Oh, Buffalo, Amherst.
So, you know, I think he's going to have a lot of people there, and it will be fun for him and for his family because, you know, he probably grew up watching the Bills. They all watch the Bills, and now they get to see their son, their nephew come out here and play and line up. You know, and that's a great thing.
I think, is it three or two sectional championships? I have it written down somewhere. Jordan Johnson has won a couple of sectional championships on this field for Sweet Home High School.
Yeah. So they've seen him on this field.
He's
been on this field. He understands what it's like to be in that stadium. But it's a little different now when you line up and you run through that tunnel as a Buffalo Bill.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's a lot different for him.
Yeah, it's just a little bit different.
It's still pretty cool.
Did they even play here at UB? Did they ever play here?
They did. I don't know if he was on that team. I don't think he was. They played the day after Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, the season, I think it was the season finale. I want to say it was against Ball State. I don't know that Jordan Johnson was there then. I think that was more than 4 years ago.
Right, right.
He won three sectional championships at New Era Field, on the field where he's going to play tonight.
Yeah, he has a lot of experience on that field.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. What are you looking for in tonight's game? One guy, and before we move on from the running backs and the battle for the backup running back spot, Mike Tolbert, who, you know, could be like a utility guy back there, running back, fullback. I don't know that they need to or plan on giving him a real heavy workload in the preseason because he's got all that NFL experience. He's been pretty outstanding at camp. He had some good moments last Friday night in the practice here in Orchard Park. So we'll see him tonight, I would anticipate. I don't know if you'll see a lot of him. And I think he'll have something to say about who the backup running backs are, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll get a little bit of burn, but not much. And for me, and I'll ask you this, do you feel like he's – shoot. I mean, it's hard to tell, obviously, but I feel like he's going to be on this team. Like, I don't know how much he has to prove in the preseason games for him to be on this team. I feel like he's going to be on this team just because he's so versatile.
Yeah.
And he has that leadership quality, and he comes up with Sean McDermott, you know. So I think he's going to be here.
Yeah. I mean, when you put together the puzzle that is the roster, you'll think, well, what, you're going to keep two fullbacks? Who keeps two fullbacks? Well, you can't look at Tolbert really as a fullback.
As a fullback, you can't.
You can look at him as a situational fullback.
A Swiss knife.
And maybe the third running back. You know, you could see like McCoy, maybe Jonathan Williams and Tolbert and Pat DeMarco and maybe one other guy, you know, a Banyard or Tawan Jones. Maybe if Tawan Jones can be the return specialist.
You
a
know,
lot of moving parts in that back,
it's
definitely, backup running back
It's
spot.
Definitely a lot of moving parts. I think when you think short yardage, and everybody's complained about Mike Gillisley not being here, but if you have Pat DeMarco and Mike Tolbert in the backfield coming at you, like nobody wants to stop that. No linebackers, DBs want to tackle that. You know, because first you got to move Pat DeMarco out of the way, and then you got to tackle Tolbert, you know, and it's just not something that people want to do. Oh, by the way, they can then fool you and throw it to these guys out of the backfield. So, yeah.
We'll see. 803-0550, the number to call. It's Aaron in Fredonia with some thoughts. What are you looking for in tonight's game, Aaron? What do you hope to see?
Yeah, I was just looking for Reggie Ragland to see what he could do tonight. He was supposed to be the best player on the field last year before his ACL tear. And also what the offense can do the first drive as a whole, if all the pieces are there tonight. And then lastly, Peterman, if he can be the backup, or if T.J. Yates has to step in this year and Peterman just, you know, sits back and watches to see what everybody else is doing. I also want to give a shout-out to Bills Mafia because I'm going to be at the game tonight. And let's get a win.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, Raglan's interesting.
I think Raglan might be the most watched guy once he gets out there on the field.
Not just by fans either.
No, like,
I think
by
this
everybody.
Coaching staff, yeah. This personnel department, you know, they're patient with him and they know where he's at. They know it's just a year since his catastrophic knee injury, but they also want to see signs, I think, that it's coming along.
It's coming along.
He could be the type of player that many people thought he would be.
Right. They want to see him be able to just run around out there and not think about the knee as much. You know, get out there, make some plays, run around, track down a running back, you know, like be able to maybe cover somebody, something like that. I think he's going to be the most watched player on the field when he's out there by everyone involved, the coaching staff, his teammates, and the fans.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to keep an eye on him. A couple of tweets on this as far as what are you looking for in tonight's game. Vince Guarino says, it'll be interesting to see how Rico's offense looks. Balanced, West Coast, run heavy, design rollouts. The problem is, Vince Guarino, and you know this, I'm sure, that they don't want to give it away in these preseason games. So they probably have a version of the type of offense they're going to run in terms of, like, personnel packages, mm-hmm. I would think. But they're also going to keep closely guarded the exact nature of what they do. Will you have rollouts? Sure. Will they have, you know, play-action passes? Sure. But I don't know that you'll get a real good snapshot of what this offense will look like in tonight's preseason game.
Most coaches don't tip their hand like that. Most coaches will just hide everything. You're not going to see, you know, any tight end screens or anything like that. You probably won't even see Tolbert or DeMarco catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, even though coaches will know that those guys can do that because they have experience in the league, but you're not going to want to show that these are some of the things that we want to do. You're going to see a very vanilla offense. And the fact of the matter is, as a coaching staff, look, we're going to line up in these plays and we're going to run them. All right, and I want you to execute these plays. We're not out there trying to trick anybody or any of that stuff. Execute the plays, the 10, 15 plays that we have, and if you can execute these plays and do your job, then you earn a spot on this team.
803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. David in Syracuse. David, what are you looking for in tonight's preseason opener?
All right, I'll give you my defense and my offense.
Okay.
Defense, I'm looking for – I want to say something, but maybe anything from Reggie Raglan. And then offense, the backup running backs, I'm a little nervous about. But Tolbert, it kind of gives me a little hope there. And I'm going to leave you with a new nickname for Tolbert. Toldozer's out. We got to do something new. Buffalo theme. He's now Tollplow. And that's it. I'm done.
Okay. Tollplow.
Tollplow.
That's a bit of a reach, isn't it? Tollplow? How about Toll Plaza? How about Williamsville Toll Barrier?
I got to think about that because I don't know how much it flows.
No,
you know?
It doesn't really flow.
You see, a guy like Trey Day, Trey Day flows.
Yes.
You know, but Toll Plow, I got to think about that one. You know, but I'm sure somebody's going to come up with some nicknames for him, and you're going to hear it when he gets the ball. You're going to hear the fans.
I think you're right about Raglan, though. I really do. I think the spotlight's going to be on him. We talked about it a minute ago. For the coaches are going to be keeping an eye and seeing. You know, I don't think they're going to limit his reps or anything. I think they feel like it's a year. Let's push it a little bit, see where he's at. And that's going to be really interesting tonight. And, again, another guy who will not start. He will play with the twos and threes maybe even.
Right. So we need you to look good against these twos and threes. I think he is going to play with the twos and threes. I don't know how much they'll push him coming off that knee. But they will push him.
Yeah.
You know, they will push him because we got to see if your knee can hold up. And so, yeah, I think they're going to push him. He's going to play against the twos and threes. And just go out there and make plays. And let's see if you can do it without thinking about this knee.
All right, we got more to talk about and more phone calls to come. We want to get more of your thoughts, what you're looking for in tonight's game. We will revisit the Twitter poll when we return. And we'll also go back a little bit. Just a couple of days ago, Vince Wilfork, longtime Patriots nose tackle, officially retired as a Patriot. We'll talk about that a little bit when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on game day. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Reed's Gents brings you the diamond in the rough. This week, it's linebacker Tanner Vallejo. Vallejo was drafted by the Bills in the sixth round this past year. He racked up 275 tackles in his college career at Boise State, 35 of them for losses. Early in training camp, he's been working with the second team and even saw some time with the starters. Vallejo is expected to factor in on special teams this year. Tanner Vallejo, this week's Diamond in the Rough, presented by Reed's Gems, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. Tanner Vallejo will get some serious run tonight, I would think, right?
Some serious run. You know why? Because the weak side linebacker, and I know that they've been, I guess, happy with Ramon Humber out there.
Yeah.
But I do still think that that's a competition, you know, and I think that Tanner Vallejo wants to show, listen, I can play this. I can cover guys. I can make tackles in space. I can run around. I'm fast enough to get it done. And I think he's going to get some run so that the coaching staff can see, okay, which one of these guys is better.
And again, for him and Milano, the other draft pick linebacker, special teams will mean something.
Oh, special teams will definitely mean a lot for both of those guys. I think Vallejo is probably in a little bit better shape to see some burn on defense than Milano, even though Milano has been playing well as well. But Vallejo, I think, is in a good position to really make a run at that starting job.
Hey, Donald, we talked about this. We touched on it yesterday anyway. Yesterday in Foxborough, Vince Wilfork, 35 years old, 11 seasons of his 13-year NFL career with the Patriots, 35, returned and signed a one-year contract with the Patriots. Bill Belichick said he was the best defensive lineman he ever coached. Do you believe that? And he called him the captain of the captains.
Yeah, he probably is the captain of the captains. He has that aura about him. He you know, I have flashbacks with Vince Wilfork. I really don't like talking about him, Murph.
Why?
Because I had some bad plays that he was on the better end of. Just
really?
Flashbacks, yeah.
Well, there's one play in particular that our audience on MSG might get a kick out of seeing. I think this might be the play you're referring to, right?
Vince how did Wilfork I know they had it? I knew our producer, Jay.
I wish
Jay.
The radio audience could see it. So you're going across the formation. Did you have the ball in your hands at one point? Because he separated you from the ball pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was trying to catch it. I don't know if I had it in my hands or not.
Vince Wilfork.
It's just a bad play.
And you still have bad memories of that?
I'm always going to have bad memories because, you know, every year something happens where NFL Network or somebody brings this up. And for the last couple of days on my Twitter, people have been tweeting me this, how bad did this feel? It actually didn't hurt at all. Like, the hit didn't hurt at all because he didn't land on me. Like I said, if he would have landed on me, all 450 pounds of him, that would have hurt.
Vince Wilfork takes out Donald Jones.
Yeah,
oh, boy.
It was rough.
Was that a fumble?
No, it was incomplete.
Incomplete pass. Yeah, all right, so a little shovel pass.
But I had like a 67-yard touchdown reception in that game, so whatever.
So you made up for it.
Yeah. It's kind of like when they talk about – you remember people talk about when Allen Iverson shook Michael Jordan,
mm-hmm.
and it was huge. Like, oh, Iverson just shook Jordan, and Jordan went for like 48 in that game.
Yeah.
Jordan's like, I don't care. Like 48 points.
Scoreboard.
Right.
Here's a call from Mike in East Amherst. Hello, Mike. Welcome. You're on the air. Let me try again. Mike in East Amherst. Mike, now you're on the air.
My man, Mike.
Now we wait for Mike to know that he's on the air. Hello, Mike.
How's it going?
Good.
What's up?
Not much. Listen, I heard the nickname for Tolbert. I was thinking, I know, Tolldozer. How about Billdozer?
Billdozer. Why do we need a nickname for Mike Tolbert, by the way?
Because he's had
we're trying awfully hard.
He's had so many nicknames down in Carolina, I guess, you know, when you're trying to come up with one for him here. And if he starts to plow guys, then.
Unless something, you know, presents itself, I hate to force it, you know.
Yeah,
Billdozer, what's the other one?
Tolldozer.
Toll plow.
Was it toll plow? Yeah, so somebody tweeted me Tolldozer.
Tolldozer, well, that's.
That one flows a little bit better than
is that what they called him in Carolina?
Was it?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, it was what they called him. So maybe that sticks here. The human snowplow.
We're trying off.
He's half man, half snowplow.
Here's Keith in Rochester. Hello, Keith. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, I'm just looking for continuity on both sides of the ball. I know the offense can score points. They proved that last year. I think everything hinges on the defensive side. I'd like to see that, you know, the front four there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that Yarbrough, because if they play well, that's going to let our linebackers attack, and it's going to our corners aren't going to have to cover as long, our young secondary. So I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks. Eddie Yarbrough has become an interesting guy. There was a big feature story on him in the in the newspaper, in the Buffalo News today. He's a guy who's had some really good moments and got a little playing time with the second and first teams at defensive end. Didn't play football last year, Eddie Yarbrough. Out of football. Was in camp with the Broncos and got released and didn't play football at all.
Maybe he's another Mike Gillisley, you know, where he shows up and plays good for this team.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is you need some depth at the defensive end.
Absolutely you do.
And, you know, so I think tonight he's going to play. He's going to play tonight, and we're going to see who Eddie Yarbrough is.
Well, they got one defensive end, Ryan Davis, suffering from concussion. Yeah, he won't be – I don't think he's going to be in the lineup tonight because of the concussion.
Man, Eddie Yarbrough, he has a good shot.
Good shot.
You know, even Metz.
Jake Metz will get some playing time tonight as well.
He has a good opportunity to go out there and make plays. There is – you need to figure out who the backups at the defensive end positions are going to be. We know that – Lorenzo can come down and play that from the linebacker spot and come down and play defensive end if needed, if need be. But at the same time, you need to figure out some depth at that position.
Bills Vikings, 7 o'clock. We'll have the call of the game on the radio tonight at 7. Myself, Mark Kelso, Sal Capaccio on the sidelines. And, of course, the TV broadcast coming up at 7 o'clock as well on Channel 7 in Buffalo and WHAM 13 in Rochester and on WTBH in Syracuse. On the call of that game will be Rob Stone and, of course, Steve Tasker, along with Mike Catalana on the sidelines. Steve Tasker going to be in studio with us in the next hour. Talk about tonight's game, what he's seen so far, the Bills at camp, and what he's looking for tonight. And, of course, we welcome your phone calls as well. What do you hope to see tonight in the Bills preseason opener? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. We put the question to Steve Tasker when we return the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where it is game day, the preseason opener. The Buffalo Bills and the Minnesota Vikings kick it off at 7 o'clock tonight at New Era Field. The starters expected to play the first quarter, more or less, according to head coach Sean McDermott. He does want to get a look at some of the other players on the roster in this first preseason game, and McDermott is determined to work out any kinks and game management and putting the coaching staff in play during this game tonight. 7 o'clock kickoff. You can hear it on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, with pregame coverage starting at 5 o'clock tonight. There was preseason football last night. The Carolina Panthers beat Houston 27-17 despite a pretty good outing from Texan rookie quarterback Deshaun Watson. He is a smart and instinctive player, Bill O'Brien, the coach of the Texans, said after the loss. He said he thought he did some pretty good things. The NFL ready to hire 24 full-time game officials from among the 124 current roster of officials. They'll be sprinkled in throughout various crews in the National Football League. The program will allow current officials who want to transition to a full-time role an opportunity to apply. The fight for L.A. between the Rams and the Chargers got heated on the field yesterday. Players and coaches had to break up three fights during a two-hour scrimmage between the teams on the campus of Cal Irvine. Mikel Roby Coleman, the former Buffalo Bill, now with the Rams, ran onto the field to defend one of his teammates. Running back Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers has nothing to gain by holding out and is only hurting himself, according to Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert. That's what he told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Bell still has not signed his franchise tender, so he cannot yet be fined for his absence. The 99th PGA Championship underway at Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jim Herman is the leader through 16 holes. He is 4 under par. He is one stroke ahead of Grayson Murray, Gary Woodland, Thorbjørn Olesen. Tony Finau is in fifth place at the 99th PGA Championship in Carolina. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined in studio on this game day by our good buddy who's got a little work to do tonight on the television side of the broadcast. Steve Tasker will be there with Rob Stone calling the play-by-play, Mike Catalana on the field for the sideline reports on the Bills telecast, the Bills in Carolina. You've been doing this for like 15, 20 years, Bills preseason.
I don't know. Yeah.
Long time.
15. I've been doing the CBS thing, and I think it was a year or two. So, yeah, 17 years maybe.
You and I did a couple of preseason games.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did a couple of them play-by-play with Marv. Remember,
right.
I did a couple of years with Marv even.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of mix-up in the booth, which is kind of the story of the industry right now. Yeah, so.
Is it, you know, a lot of, I think, casual fans, and not to look askance at the way they feel. A lot of people look down their nose at preseason football like, huh, you know, wake me up when the games are real.
I get it.
When you're around the team, and Donald and I and you are, you mm-hmm. kind of develop a rooting interest in some of these storylines, some of these players out there.
Absolutely, right? And it is important to the guys, people inside the building, the players, the coaches, the administration. I mean, you know, guys like us who are entwined with the club, and you do get, you know, you kind of have rooting interest. Guys, you think, sure. Oh, I hope, you know, because we evaluate these players just like the coaches do, although we don't study them on film like they do, and we don't know their assignments. We don't look them in the eye and tell them what they should do and see how they do it. But nevertheless, everybody likes to measure their own ability to pick the roster against the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we start pulling for guys we think should make it and guys who shouldn't. But there are always surprises.
There's always surprises because the one thing, as we're evaluating, we're like, yeah, this guy is good. But it always comes down to business and numbers. And, you know, somebody else on offense playing receiver that is helping out on special teams and got to cut a corner or something like that. That's just how it happens.
The guy may be a great wide receiver or DB, but he's not going to play ahead of Sammy or not going to play ahead of Zay Jones. He's not going to play ahead of Anquan Boldin, and he can't play special teams.
Right.
So, he's not going to help us on Sunday because mm-hmm. he's not even going to see the field as a receiver.
Exactly.
So those are the kind of decisions you got to make, and, you know, it's hard for us to see the mix that the coaches have a handle on.
Not only is it player evaluation tonight and throughout this preseason for the Bills, Steve, it's also, you know, the break-in flight for a brand-new coaching staff. Almost the entire coaching staff has been remade. And in the case of the head coach, he's never been the head coach before. So that's part of what's going on here tonight and through the next 4 weeks.
We'll talk about it on the broadcast tonight, particularly right in the open. You know, there's so many new things about this organization. They made some fundamental changes from the top on down, you mm-hmm. know, the way they're structured, the way, you know, they ran their draft completely different than they have in the mm-hmm. past years. They had a different philosophy of free agents. They have new coordinators, new head coach, new offense, new defense. I mean, you know, and most of the roster is new. This is a brand new organization almost from top to bottom.
Right.
The only, you know, things that are different, well, everything's different because even some of the executives that hung around are still in the building. Have different responsibilities and different purview of as to what they do. So, so because of all that, you know, a lot of people think, yeah, this is just too much to get
right
with so much change to really jump out of the blocks and go fast. But I would agree with that on the surface. But I also know this: there are a lot of things going right within this stadium as well.
As far as on the field, and I know you guys are going to talk about this on the broadcast, what are some things you're looking for from this staff?
Yeah, I think we talked to Sean McDermott yesterday. I mean, they're worried about – I mean, they got to get everything – they want everything right. And there's a lot of things that go into it. And people think, you know, come on now, that's not that big a deal. But, you know, they got to have their families taken care of for tickets, where they're parking, how their locker room setup is. In game day, it's not like the old days. It's, you know, the game day locker room is someplace where they don't go except on game days. Now they have the game – their game – everyday locker room is up in the field house, like a lot of teams are these days.
Right.
So, you know, they got to get that locker room right for these players and this roster and this coaching staff. And, you know, they've got to iron out, you know, both coordinators are going to be on the field. The assistants are going to be up top. They've got to have all that logistically worked out. Who can chime in when they think they can chime in? Because, you know, they all have these headphones, and everybody says, yeah, they can communicate really well. Well, yeah, they can communicate because everybody can hear you, and you can hear everybody. So somebody's got to know when they got to shut up. I mean, that's the key to it. So there's got to be one voice. And so they got to iron all that out. So for all those reasons, you know, there's a lot of people outside of Buffalo and outside the building that think, you know, that, you know, they're gonna stumble out of the blocks. For me, I think when you get the number ones on the field, I would expect to see them pretty sharp.
I expect to see him sharp as well because of just he's so detail oriented and he does things a certain way. He's done it in practice, making coaches go up in the booth. Some coaches are down on the field. They came and they worked on it last Friday when they were here. I mean, he pays attention to everything, you know, and he. Down to, look, this is where I want to park before a game. Like, he pays attention to so many different things. I think they're going to be on top of everything.
I do, too. I think the number ones, like I said, when they come out, I think the number ones are going to look really sharp, right? Because they got a lot of really veteran guys, mm-hmm. guys who have been around the block before. They know how to pick up an offense and pick up a defense. They've got a lot, and they got communication with each other. I think it'll fall off drastically after that first quarter. You see, you know, Murphy, he said, you know, ones will go for a while. I think once they start to mix in the twos, and then it becomes predominantly twos, and then when T.J. Yates and then Nate Perriman takes over, they're going to struggle a little bit, which is natural. Mm-hmm. You got young players out there that they think their entire universe is going to come crashing down if they jump off sides or if they drop a pass, and you know it's just not the case. They attach way too many consequences to this game, and it hinders the way they play. Right. It's just as simple as that. Yeah. They can't relax and play because they're worried about their assignments. They're worried about making mistakes, mm-hmm. and it shows.
With Steve Tasker, the former Bills special teams ace with the NFL on CBS and the color analyst for tonight's preseason telecast, the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings. Our Twitter poll, we're going to ask Steve this question, and we want to revisit it. A couple of thousand votes in. What are you looking for from the Bills in tonight's first preseason game? We've had a lot of response on Twitter. As I said, a couple of thousand votes in so far. 40% of you vote that you want to see crisp execution from the starters. 31% say you're looking for solid play from the rookies. 21% say smart game management. 8% have something else in mind. You'd like to see all of it. But, Steve, I think you anticipate that you're going to get crisp execution, it sounds like, from the starting unit. Why do you say that?
I do, because they're veterans. They're getting a lot of reps in training camp. They're not going to be out there for very long. They're going to be a little bit more relaxed than the twos and the threes that get in there. And, quite frankly, they're veteran players, and there's some guys that are star players in the NFL out there. Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius, you've got even Ron Darby in the back end of the defense. Then on offense, of course, you've got Tyrod. You've got that whole offensive line that's coming back. They know each other. And you got Shady McCoy, Sammy Watkins, and you got Anquan. I mean, good grief.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't even a hiccup for most of these guys. Right. So they should look, even if they aren't productive, they should be crisp. And I think that it's interesting about your Twitter poll. We may see all of that. We may see all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game management will be there. I think the we're going to get some solid play from some of the young guys. And I think it's, you know, it's easy to say that here before we
yeah.
But it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of a new season.
Yeah.
But for me, I think there are some deep fundamental reasons why this is going to be a good performance, particularly from the number ones out there on both sides of the ball.
Now, you played special teams, but you also played receiver, and you've just covered this game for a long time now. Typically, at this point, the first preseason game, is the defense still ahead of the offense?
I think in the early – yeah, I think so, because let's face it, I mean, on the offense, you got to have at least – 10 guys doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have one guy away from the play that blows an assignment, but you got to have 11 guys doing the exact same thing. On defense, all you need is one to make a play.
Yeah.
Everybody could stink on the play, and your corner covers the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So defenses get that edge there. Plus, when they keep it simple in the preseason like coaches like to do, it turns the defense loose a little bit more. Offense, you can't simplify it very much.
Right.
You've got to have some reads. Everybody's got to be on their toes about, well, okay, what's the defense? And I got to change this if the defense does this.
Right.
Defensively, they can kind of turn those guys loose a little more. That's why they're always ahead, and it will probably look that way tonight.
You're welcome to join us to weigh in on tonight's game. What are you looking for from the Bills tonight? 803-0550, the number, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. David calling from all the way out in Wyoming. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot for taking my call. Hey, I met Eddie Yarborough back in June when I was home. Great guy. Hope he makes the team. Plus, he played for the University of Wyoming. I'm a huge Bills fan. Look forward to the season and love your call, Murph. You guys have a great season.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it. A lot of interest in Eddie Yarborough, number 75, who, you know, Donald and I were talking last hour, Steve. Because of the depth situation, because we don't anticipate Ryan Davis will play tonight with his concussion issue, Eddie Yarborough is going to get a real good look at claiming a roster spot tonight and probably for the next week or two, I would think.
Yeah, and he's brought some things to the table they didn't know he had. He's pretty fast off the edge.
Yeah.
I think they like that. I think he's wowed some people, and plus he's gotten a little bit of gotten a little boost from other guys having out with concussions and all of that. I think you get a guy like Yarborough who comes in and it clicks. He was with Denver,
yep.
And then he was without, and then he was out. I mean,
for a year.
Yeah. So I think that helps guys. I mean, it's hard to go out there and make a living not knowing whether you're even going to get a call or whatever.
Yeah.
It gives a guy a different perspective knowing that, hey, man, the league's going to go on with or without you.
Right.
and you want to be in it. So guys dig deep and they say, you know, I'm going to do more the next time I get an opportunity. I'm going to do the extra things. And plus, having been through it once, even with another team, really gives you a sense of having seen everything before, getting a sense of what's important. And, and I think Yarbrough is benefiting from it.
You know, when he came in here, he got signed, he can look at it and say, oh, man, like, there's not much depth here, you know? And then when a guy like Ryan Davis goes down, it's like, oh, man, like, now you get mentally, you get another boost because it's like, now I'm really going to play, you know? And in your mind, you're like, all I got to do is go out here and make plays now. Just go make plays and I'm going to earn it. And you get that mental boost.
It's almost like a placebo effect. You get helped even when you didn't get helped,
exactly.
You know? Because you think you're in a better spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, I think you come back after being out of football for a year knowing how valuable the spot is and how big an opportunity it is, and even understanding it even more than he did the first time around. So, Yarbrough's in a great spot probably mentally. I think he's just – you're right, like you said. I mean, he's got to take a deep breath, I would imagine.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I
mean, don't try to do too much.
He thinks he's going to be all pro tonight, and it's going to be, you know, it's defensive MVP of the league tonight, you know, and it's just not going to happen that way.
Steve Tasker in studio with Donald tonight. Phone lines open 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You said you're anticipating a good showing by the starters tonight. What do you anticipate from – Tyrod Taylor, and how much different would Tyrod be tonight from the Tyrod we've seen as a starter for the last 2 years?
I don't think he'll look much different because I don't think they're going to have him drop back. If he's in there for 15 plays, he'll drop back 5 for 8 of them, and depending on how the run game goes. I expect them to be able to run it.
Right.
I mean, this is a team that, you know, that's their deal.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think they'll stick with that. Now, if he throws it 10 out of 15 times, I'd almost raise my eyebrows like, well, I hope they plan to do that instead of, you know, first down minus 2, second down minus 1, third and 13. So I hope it's not like that. I would say, you know, I don't think they're going to ask Tyrod to do too much
and
throwing the ball.
Just to piggyback off of more what he said, you know, the running game is their deal, right? And we were just talking about is the defense ahead of the offense? Well, in terms of the running game with this offense, with having your entire offensive line, we don't know what's going to happen with Cordy tonight. But for the most part, all of those guys are playing. All of those guys are back from last year. Yeah, it's a different scheme, but they know what they're doing. They all know how to work off of each other. So I would expect them to run the ball a lot more than Tyrod dropping back, actually throwing passes.
I think also for people who watch the team closely, I think their run game is going to look different. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to it's going to be that zone read stuff, and you're going to see Shady – you know, head to the sideline and then put his foot in the ground and slice.
Yeah.
That's that's what it looks like. It's going to be an old Terrell Davis kind of stuff. It's pretty effective. When we've seen guys run that well, man, I'm telling you, man, that's it's fun to watch. I mean, it's hard to stop because a lot of the, you know, even though if your linebackers are fit upright, when that guy puts his foot in the ground, everything's moving to the sideline and you got guys taking angles at you, those big bodies coming out off the ball. You get a lot of drag down tackles instead of stuffing them in the hole. And when you get drag downs, you know, hey, that's an extra 2 or 3 yards.
Right.
So you get 2 to begin with, an extra 3. That's a 5-yard gain on a play that the defense thinks they played it pretty well.
Yeah.
So I think this is an exciting way to run the football. I think Shady's going to need to get used to it because it's going to ask him to do a little bit different. But, man, oh, man, I'm pretty excited about it.
I think it's definitely different than what – you know, he did last year and what he's done in the past. But I think this zone scheme is, like, perfect for his style of run because he wants to read, cut back, maybe even cut all the way across. Like, that's his game. And when the entire line, everybody is flowing to the ball, it gives him that opportunity to read everybody and see where he wants to go.
It puts that extra pressure on the defense, too, because the backside is part of the vision, you know. And if the backside gets cut down and if they don't stay at home, if they try and crash down so the cut block can't reach them, you know, it's there for him to go all the way back across, and then it turns in. You really look at a big play then, and that's it puts a pressure on the entire front seven, not just the guys at the point of attack, like on a lead play or on a wham block or something like that.
We had Eric Wood on the show yesterday, and he talked about the backside. They're going to do a lot of cut blocking.
You talked about how it's different too.
Yeah,
I mean, even though this staff inherits the number one rushing attack in the NFL over the last 2 years, pretty clear from listening to Eric yesterday that they've thrown essentially everything out. And they're
doing different.
Yeah, which is fine. That's their prerogative.
Listen, if it takes their offense from being, I don't know what it was, well, they were top 10 in scoring. I mean, 27 points a game. If it if it adds another field goal onto that, if they can get to, up to 29, 30 points a game, and they don't turn it over, and they keep, I mean, hey, you should win a lot of games like that. That's what we thought last year, but I think this defense is going to play a notch or two better as well.
Shady will start, and as it's been said, he'll play, you know, first quarter, maybe a little bit less than that. And behind him, it's an interesting mix of different style running backs, Steve. You know, Jonathan Williams, maybe Mike Tolbert plays running back, fullback. A couple of, you know, Joe Banyard's played in the league. Jordan Johnson from UB. That is a battle. Now, whether or not one of those guys is going to be the backup, I think obviously Jonathan Williams has the best chance.
Right.
But I don't think anything is quite settled at backup running back.
No, but I think it's going to come down to guys like Jordan Johnson, kid from UB. He's big. He brings a little something else to the table. Tolbert is a big running back as well. So yep. Those guys bring a little different dimension to it, and they're going to, you know, they're when you get a big running back like those guys are, even in the NFL, if you can stay in the game and hand it to them, you know, I'm telling you, even the stoutest defense gets tired of hitting those guys in four quarters. I mean, that's why guys, running backs get stronger as the mm-hmm. game goes on, because the other guys are just tired of hitting them. When I came in the league way back in the day, the guys I came into the league with in Houston with the Oilers were young guys with Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they talked about him like, man, they just didn't want any part of him in the fourth quarter. And that's what big bodies give you. Mm-hmm. Brandon Jacobs, the New York Giants Ooh. Running back of five or 10 years ago, same thing. So it's something to think about when you've got a team that bulldozes people in the run game and you throw in Mike Tolbert at running back, or then Jordan Johnson, who's, you know, 6'1", 220. Guys line up in the fourth quarter having to get you off the field in the run game. Man, it's disheartening.
It is.
And I think it's something you got to think about. But, you know, if you're talking about those guys at the bottom of the roster, running back like we are, they got to cover kicks. They got to contribute.
Right. Now, here's a question, and it's something that we can watch for. I don't know if we'll be able to see this tonight or not, but we know they run this zone scheme where everybody's moving, and we know that Shady is a good fit for that, but Mike Tolbert, is he a good fit for that same style of offense? You know, can he be that guy who gets it out on the edge and can cut all the way back? I don't think that's his game.
No,
so
I agree.
Changed,
but I'll tell you this too. That out in Denver, when they started running this with Terrell Davis, they had a lot of guys who looked really good at running back in this offense. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys, they were like plugging guys in.
Yeah,
and it was like, wow, maybe they're not. You know, maybe Terrell Davis isn't a Hall of Famer. You know, it's, you know, because it's a system. Well, you know, you find out. No, the guys do help, but a lot of guys find it easier to be successful in this system because the cuts. It's one cut and go. And the cuts are much easier to read because they start spreading out as they get towards the sideline. It's easier to make those cuts and get some yardage. So I think this is an offense run game that we've been talking about that makes it better for your lesser backs to be successful enough so that if Shady needs a half off, or if, you know, if he's already got 190 and you're up by 15, you know, you can pull him out and sit him down, or, you know, that kind of thing. Or if you get into a game where you just need, you know, if you just want to make a statement, you know, you don't have a problem putting those guys in, knowing that offense is going to be able to stay on the field with first downs with somebody not named LeSean McCoy in the game.
Steve Tasker in studio with us. Let's fire up a couple phone calls to join the conversation. Dan in Youngstown, Ohio. Hello, Dan. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So. Hi. Donald, somebody was giving you a hard time the other day saying you're no Jerry Rice.
It's all good. I know I'm no Jerry Rice, but sheesh. Okay. I wanted to hang up on him, but I don't control the calls on here.
But you something that Jerry Rice never did. You went to Youngstown State and you're a Penguin.
Hey, I'll take that.
You got that going for you,
Penguin,
though. I'll
say
that. I'll tell you that.
Oh, man.
So here's what I'm looking for in the game tonight. First of all, I want to get Shady a nice, comfortable seat on the sidelines, couple of ice packs on his knee, and just enjoy watching the game. Second thing is, in the passing game, I know you guys were talking about seeing some deep balls down the field. I'd actually be more impressed if I saw the ball coming out quickly on some slant patterns and maybe a few things over the middle. I know it's vanilla in the preseason, but I'd like to see the passing game be crisp, because we know Tyrod can throw the ball deep. We've seen that before. We need to see some more progression in this game. And then on defense, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of personnel do we see at linebacker and what do we have in our secondary? And then coaching, are we getting plays in quickly? Are we making substitutions promptly? And that's probably more hard in the preseason than it is regular season because you got so many guys on the sidelines. But those were issues that we had last year, and we need to clean that up under this coaching staff.
Yeah, no question. Hey, thanks for your call, Dan, in Youngstown, Ohio.
He covered the entire
– everything. Covered the waterfront.
He covered the entire Twitter poll. He did every issue.
Steve, what about the – we did – was it last week, Donald, we had a Twitter poll about how much to play Shady and Sammy and Tyrod in this preseason game? And and the more I got thinking about it, I was like, sit him. Don't play him. But there is an injury risk. Yeah, everyone's aware of that. I'm not saying play scared, but – you don't want to expose those three in particular, I think. McCoy, first and foremost, you don't want to expose him to a lot of hits in this game at all.
No doubt.
Or any preseason.
No doubt. But yeah, as a player, I think it was always important if you could tell those guys you're going to be in for this long, no matter what.
Right.
Because then there's a back end to they're going to play hard until that point, and they know that they got to – in there. If you say, we're going to give you, a couple, three, four series, I can't decide. Well, then, when am I have to – you're always looking over the sideline saying, is this my last play? Mm-hmm. Is this my last play? And that's when you get nicked, and that's when you do something stupid, or that's when you – and you look bad doing it because you just don't know there's no end point. So I was always a big fan of – I don't care if you only have one series. The first quarter, when the gun sounds, we switch ends, you're out.
Yeah.
Even if it's in the middle of a series. Or if it's not in the middle of a series, you're going to finish that series and then you're out. As long as you gave them a back end, that really helped with their emotion of like going – because it's always like, I know this game don't mean nothing, so am I done yet? And – that's a hard place to play good football in, and it's a hard place to stay healthy in, and that's where guys get into trouble.
Yeah, for the most part, they'll tell you, look, you got two series, that's it. Or if we pick up a first down, we'll let you go, but after that, you're done. After that, it's one series.
Didn't Marv used to – he had some deal where if guys – if the offense, scored on his first series or looked good and picked up a couple first downs,
that was above my pay grade.
Well, you were a little bit on the offense there.
I didn't only care because after those guys went out, then the seconds went out. And then when those guys went out, then maybe at the end of the game I would get in. So that I was like, See, that's the problem, though. And that's one of the problems I had with the preseason, even under Marv, was we never knew how much we were going to play. And even Bruce DeHaven, my good friend, had a hard time knowing because they want to give you some, they want to give you not some, not enough. But for us on teams, I'm going to give you a kickoff. Yeah. I'm going to give you a punt. I'm going to give you a kickoff return. I'm going to give you one of each. Well, then the other team doesn't score. So, it's like middle
fourth
of the
quarter,
third quarter, and we're finally going to, get a kick return. So, that even then it was hard. And, I haven't done anything for literally an hour and a half, and then he wants us to go out and do a kick return. So that stinks. But it's impossible not to fall into that when you're trying to get work in for these guys and then not take them too long. The back end is the hard thing to see.
Let's add a flashback to a preseason game, Stephen. This is my vivid recollection. It's in Florida. I want to say it was in Jacksonville. I think it was the Bills and maybe Tampa Bay or Bills in Atlanta. And starters were out. You were probably playing. The starters were out. Right. And it was like a party on the sidelines. Remember this game? And
just where Jim,
Kim Alexis, the supermodel, was.
That was not in Tampa Bay. It
was against Tampa, but I think
that didn't go over too well.
No, you wouldn't have believed this.
So wait, there was
a supermodel
on the sideline,
and she was great. Yeah. She's from Lockport. She's great.
Okay,
and she had many friends on the team, but it was a little bizarre.
Well, yeah, there was one particular fan in particular that didn't really like that. Who happened to own the team.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, some of us heard about that.
Yes, I remember that.
It wasn't me.
I know it wasn't you, but there were several.
Listen, we hated the preseason so much because, one, Marv never won. We never won. Marv didn't want us, almost like we didn't want to win. And, two, we felt like if you just give us one extra play on the menu – at the right time, we'd win. Yeah. So not only were we bitter about getting beat by a team that we thought we should have just lumped up, you're standing over there on the sidelines for like 6 hours, it seemed like. It's just a horrible, horrible way to spend a beautiful summer night. So we're over there eating sunflower seeds, and we're on the way back. I mean, the guys, the veteran guys on the team, we have the same flight crew and stuff. So the pilots and the flight crew are taking off. They leave the game like in the middle of the third quarter, go get the plane ready, and the guys are they're giving them cash to make sure we have refreshments on the way back. So you know, it's like we could not possibly care less. By the end of that game, we're like,
yeah.
Well,
here's the thing.
You know, we wish we'd played tennis instead of
football.
Y'all
on the sideline. Where are you? Like, do you have cash in your socks? Like, where are you getting the cash from to give these people?
Well, some of the people are still with the organization, so I won't.
That game in
reverential,
particular.
Reverential equipment people would take care of it for
you.
That game in particular is one I remember saying to the late Van Miller during the broadcast, this preseason thing is falling apart right before our eyes.
Oh, my gosh. It was sideways.
It was bad.
It was horrible. And that was just one instance. I mean, every year it was something like that. It was like, oh, gosh.
That was the low
now,
point.
Now, on the flip side of it, and I don't know if you guys are going to talk about this tonight, Zimmer out in Minnesota, he's what? Would you say 12?
12-1. Over his 3 years as a head coach. Listen, 4-0 last year.
It's got to be. Some of it is not just. I mean, that's not just luck. I mean, he wants his guys to get to know what that's like. And I think, too, rightfully so, and this goes back to Sean McDermott and his thing, I think you learn some things about game management as a head coach and as his staff when you're ahead. You got to get there.
Right.
I think when you keep the game close and when you're trying to win at the end and you're trying to do all this stuff and you stay engaged, I think in the preseason – I think it gives you a chance to get into those situations where you got to call the right timeout and you've got to spike the ball at the right time. You got to go into your 2 minute. You got to go into your 4 minute at the right time. So I think it's a reflection of their philosophy of keep playing hard well enough to give them trying to win the game at every level, and it turns out for them. I mean, 12-1 in the preseason is great, but I think there's no question that's a philosophy of theirs that they're going out to win those games.
Steve Tasker in studio with us. He'll be back with more. We'd love to hear from you. What are you looking for in tonight's preseason opener? The lines are open at 803-0550 and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. We're back with Steve, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are back from One Bills Drive. I just took a look out in the parking lot. There's a little bit of activity going on out there. It looks like
game day activity. I pulled in this morning. There were like, the RVs and everything already there. I'm like, wow, like people are.
It's in the air, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see.
Did you smell any grills yet?
Did I what? No, not yet. I'll tell you, though, since the time I started here in like November of 1986, so it's been all 30 years. Mm-hmm. The grounds surrounding the stadium have begun to change into private party places. You know, you got places where they used to be a house or something. They take the house down, put a lot there, and it's their spot. RVs and groups. Mm-hmm. Bill's Mafia and Bill's Booster Club and the Monday Morning Quarterback Club. They all got these joints that they go to. It's it's a happening.
It should be.
It is a happening. Yeah. And it's been that way since I arrived here 30 years ago.
Here's a call from Mark in Buffalo on the air with us. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. This is for Steve. Steve, I loved watching you play. You weren't the biggest guy on the field, but you were nasty. You hit. I remember you hitting Tim Brown one time on a punt return. You both sat there and hand slapped. I think he wondered who the hell hit him. I don't know what he said to you, but it was great to see. And I call that heart. You had heart. Can you install that in a player, or you just have to have it when you're born? I just enjoyed watching you play, and thank you very much for all the times you brought us at that stadium during those years.
Well, thanks, Mark. It was fun for me, too. And I do remember the play you're talking about with Tim Brown. My wife actually got me a copy of the picture. The picture won an award or something at a sports photography competition in the NFL that year, and I got a little bit of it.
Slapped high five,
well,
pointed each other.
I got him.
Yeah,
and by the skin of my teeth, and we ended up because I extended and he caught me, and I had enough of him that he got me and spun me around, and I spun him around. So we ended up spinning different directions and sat up facing each other.
Yeah,
And so I kind of went like this to him, and or he pointed at me like this, and I kind of put my hands up like, hey, man, I'm just lucky I got you. Mm-hmm. And we played – he and I played together in like, well, seven Pro Bowls together. Yeah. I mean, he was there every year. And
Did you say anything to each other in that moment?
No, I don't – yeah, just nice – I said – he goes, nice tackle. I said, man, I'm – you know, I was pretty humble about it because the guy was really good.
Yeah.
And no, but I know we spoke a lot and got to have a lot of conversations at the Pro Bowl. He's an outstanding guy. He's in the Hall of Fame, deserves it. And, yeah, I was – you know, it was one of those great players I got a chance to play with. It was fun.
I know we're about to get into some officials here, but, Steve, I don't know if you remember your very first preseason game in this league. What was your feeling going into that game as a rookie?
It was the Hall of Fame game in 1985. O.J., Joe Namath, and Roger Staubach were three of the four guys that went in.
And you're playing with Houston.
And I'm playing with Houston, and we're playing against the New York Giants. And I remember, you know, the year before, I was a college, snot-nosed college kid. Just, you know, I had wore a T-shirt, you know, wherever I went. And I'm sitting there stretching with the Oilers, and I'm thinking, okay, and here come the Giants, and Lawrence Taylor leads him out. And I'm thinking, he's a linebacker and stuff. I mean, he's, you know. Then I see him. He walked, and I know how fast he is because I'd seen him on Monday Night Football, you know, snatching it out of the air and going 95 yards, and nobody could even catch him. And I'm thinking, you know, like, pretty fast. So he comes running out, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, he's huge. I'm looking around. I'm looking at my guys, and I'm playing with the Oilers, and you got a bunch of Hall of Famers there too. I got Warren Moon. I got Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews, and, you know. So it's, you know, they're everywhere on that team. And I'm, you know, and it's Phil Simms and those guys. I'm like, man, what am I doing here? What am I doing here?
I want to do this?
Yeah, and it was in Canton. And I've still got what they do. It's one of the nice things they do. If you play in the Hall of Fame game, the Hall of Fame sends you a card, like a credit card with your name and the team and the year. Huh. And it's a lifetime pass to the Hall of Fame. I got two of them. I played one there with the Oilers. And then in 89, the Bills played there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
played Washington.
I got another one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of – but that was my first – I was like
– So you were all cool until Taylor LT came out of the locker room.
I was kind of – you know, I was taking it all in.
Yeah.
And then it kind of gripped me that when the other team came out, there was actually going to be a competition, you know. and it was those guys, right?
Yeah.
So
pretty amazing. Hey, what are you looking for from tonight's preseason game? Let me work a couple of calls in here. Jim, been waiting on the line from Rochester. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Murph and Donald, love your show. You guys keep me going because I'm such a huge Bills fan. So I love hearing your guys' show on a regular basis. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Jim.
And then I want to make some points. I'd like to make a comment to Steve, if I could, after I make those points. So in terms of, you know, to answer your question or the question of the day, I'm just looking for me as a fan and as a coach myself, I'm just looking for steady improvement from game to game. So that's the one thing I'm looking for in terms of a team overall. And that's all aspects of the game. I think personally, I like to see two people. Logan Thomas really interests me. I got a chance to watch a few days of practice at camp in Rochester. That's where I'm from. And I really enjoyed watching his growth and what he can do on the field and what he offers in terms of his skill set. And then the other person I'm very interested in, I think, I don't understand like why he is where he is, but I think he's going to eventually get to where he needs to be is Raglan. I really want to see how Raglan, as he gets his feet underneath him again after that operation, how he performs. In terms of Steve, you may not remember this, but so I'm about 5'9", you know, 185, 190 pounds, when I played college football. And so a lot of what you did during your era really had an imprint on my life as a football player and just as a coach as I moved on in my career. You actually visited our high school, H. Chalai, back in the day and played our faculty in a basketball game way back in the early 90s. I actually graduated high school in 91.
Right.
And so I had a chance to meet you and Bennett and a lot of the guys that would come, Kelly. And you guys were just so amazing and so approachable. And I really think – you know, your impact on my life personally as a football player was you were kind of the little guy that gave us other little guys hope. And I think that that's why Buffalo as a community really, really, really connects with you. And we really appreciate that part of you and you, you know, giving us a chance to see that in your career. So thank you for that.
Well, that's nice, Jim. I appreciate that. Thanks. And that's one of the reasons the the reception I get from people like Jim are the reason, one of the reasons, you know, we're here 30 years. I mean, and not just, you know, 10 years of the time I played. I mean, we stayed here. All five of our children were born here. And because of people like Jim and all the people that call in every day, it's easy to see why we've been so happy here in Western New York. So thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
That's why you like coming on the show, right? Because people call in and throw bouquets at you. It's like going to your own wake or something.
Listen, I was on. I did a show a little bit while back. I did a show with Jim, and I must get sick of the, of hearing it. You know, because I do it to Jim. I go, Jim, you were great. You know, I love playing with you and all that stuff. And it happens all the time. I mean, he must get sick of hearing it. But it's always nice to know because you never know. I mean, Jim said, I mean, I can't even remember the Gates Chai Lai. You know, we used to go have a charity basketball team that would go out and play different high schools around. And even a couple of games when Bill Polian was the ref, you know. So that's how times have changed, you know.
Can you imagine?
And, in fact, you know, it's interesting. We did it a lot. And schools would have us in. They'd split the revenues with guys.
Teachers.
Guys would get, you know, we'd get $50 or something for playing hoops. And we'd run a little bit. Not too much. It was a joke game. It was never serious. And – you know, they stopped it. It's funny, but you know why they stopped doing it? We don't do it anymore. They can't do it because of the salary cap.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it because of the fit. Yeah. Because
which is probably gone by the time
had
you got
to,
home.
They didn't know how, you know, they had, then they had to, right. Then they had to,
bar.
They had to keep track of how much, you know, money and all that. Because it was just cash. I mean, whatever the teaching faculty did, they'd split it with us and we'd split it amongst ourselves. And you know, we'd, you know, take the wife out for dinner or whatever. And then, it stopped just because we couldn't keep track of it. The league didn't like it, and they thought, well, hey, you know, like somebody, you know, everybody did it. I mean, every team had a team. Sure. Houston did it. Dallas doesn't. So Dallas guys, they'll go out and they'll make it, you know, they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they started, well, that's it. You know, the league and the socialism, it wasn't fair, you know. They had to split it 32 ways. So they stopped it. Yeah. So it really was a nice little moneymaker
for
a
charity,
lot of teams.
Yeah.
And it was a great PR move. It enlarged the footprint of the team. It got fans in. The whole nine yards, nothing bad about it. We never played hard enough for anybody to get hurt. And it went away because of the salary cap.
We're going to be back with more. Back with more Steve Tasker in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and our buddy Steve Tasker is here. He's getting ready to call the game tonight. Yes, tonight, preseason football, along with Rob Stone and Mike Catalano, the Bills on the Minnesota Vikings, 7 o'clock on Channel 7 here in Buffalo, on WHAM TV, WHAM 13 TV in Rochester, and on WTBH in Syracuse. And people be watching, Steve. I said to Donald at the top of the show, I think there's the last couple of weeks, I sense that people feel pretty good about what this team has been up to the last couple.
Yeah, people are at the appetite's there again. I mean, it's been a long time, and they want to, you know, they want to get a little dose of it. And I think there's even a section of populations I drove in here today. They want to get their regular season mojo going tailgate. In the parking lot, yeah. Their tailgate, all get all the kinks worked out. Too, yeah. So when the regular season hits and opening day, they'll hit it running.
Another reason why people will watch is because you haven't really heard much coming out of camp, right? So it's like, what's going on with the team? I haven't. There's no headlines or anything aside from Anquan Boldin, and we're used to hearing so and so was hurt or just different headlines coming out of here, especially the last couple of years under Rex. So now, because you're not hearing anything, they want to see what's going on.
Steve is also obviously part of the NFL on CBS, getting set for, what, your 19th,
20th?
20th season. So he keeps an eye on league-wide issues, including this is going to be different this year, and they're going to phase it in, Steve, but the NFL announced today they're going to hire up to 24 full-time game officials. They're going to go from among the 124 roster of officials they have now. And if the guys are interested in being full-time, they will be considered. They'll be hired to come on to the league full-time. I want to talk to you guys about this. I love it. I've been talking about full-time officials for a while. I don't know that it automatically ensures that every call will be right. It certainly will not. But I love the fact that the officials now, the full-time officials, will have the same stake in the game, i.e. their livelihood, that everybody else who's out there in the field. I think that's important.
Well, I've said it for a long time, and I'm surprised that it's taken the NFL this long to do this, because I think it makes a lot of sense, like you do. The league gets about every issue just right. They get it right. And even now, with the even as we see the replays going, they've changed the technology from those big cabinet things where they go under the hood to a tablet. That'll get more streamlined. I think this just makes so much sense. And phasing it in makes a lot of sense. They're going to start with two dozen guys. That's just three full crews of guys who will do it full time. And they'll be able to do it like you see there, Gene Steratore on the MSG fans are watching right now. He's a full-time NFL official and NBA or college basketball official. That's all he does is officiate games at different levels in different sports. I'm sure he does something. And there you see Jerome Boger, another guy that you'll recognize. And let's face it, NFL white hats, the white guys who make the announcements as the officiating crew on the on TV, people know who they are.
You do. I mean, there's
a ton of guys that you just know, you know. Jeff
they
Tripp,
do like
Kirk Triplett,
and stuff. They look
you know,
like
all
shape.
These guys. I mean,
Terry McCauley.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of guys that you know. And to put these guys on full-time. Now, these guys, the white hats, they may as well be full-time because they put an enormous amount of time demand on their on them during the week. They've got a ton of paperwork to do and reports to fill out for the officiating guys back in New York. So they put a lot of time in already. But to put 24 guys, two dozen guys on full-time, I think it's smart. It's the right way to do it. Just phase it in. The guys that want to do it full-time are going to have to apply to get in. It's not going to be just, you know, rubber stamped on. And I think that's, you know, Ed Hockley, you know, those guys. I mean,
they're right.
Some of these guys are great, are very successful away from football. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they just want to say, yeah, I'll close up my law practice and come do it. Not a lot of them won't do it.
I want to get one more call in for Steve Tasker. Chuck calling from Rochester. Hi, Chuck. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This question is for Steve. I was just wondering, Steve, I've been a fan since 1962. But anyway, I know what a great gunner you and Mark Pike were for special teams. And to me, special teams is as important as offense or defense. I was just wondering if you have seen any of the new players that are become our new gunners that we should keep an eye on tonight.
For the Bills, you mean, Chuck?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I haven't seen a lot of punt practice doing that. In fact, this is a time when they throw guys out there who they want to see. The first thing that happens is they'll throw guys out there that they would like to make the roster on special teams who can also play it down and distance. Those are the guys they go to first. They find out if a guy, like, you know, if, you know, for instance, you know, if Anquan was a new guy and they said, wow, I think he's going to make it, but he may not be a number one guy.
Right.
Let's see if he can cover kicks too, because that'll give us a chance to keep him anyway. So guys like that that are on the bubble of being a number one, number two, they'll give those guys a shot at covering kicks, and then they'll go from there. And then they'll throw everybody on there. They'll have a chance to do that.
Well, one guy that comes to mind when you talk about that is Philly Brown.
Yep.
You know, a guy who we need to figure out if, you know, he's not going to be a one or two or three or probably even four. So is he going to be a core special teams guy on this team?
Yeah.
Now, Steve, I wanted to ask you this. I know we got to get to a break, Murph. Mm-hmm. With the way officiating is and them phasing this thing in, if there is a process where you have to apply to become a full-time ref or a full-time official, do those officials who are full-time get the big-time games and the ones who are not get the games that are not necessarily?
Yeah, I think that remains to be seen. I haven't heard anything about that. What I would suspect is, if you make all the right calls and you get – because they grade these guys. Mm-hmm. It's not like nobody says, oh, shoot, that was a bad game for you. They go back and look at every play, at every call, and every non-call as well. And they're graded plus or minus or up, down, whatever, right. A, B, C, D, whatever. I don't know what the grading increments are. Mm-hmm. But they're graded on every call they make and every call they do not make. So the guys that get to the playoffs and the Super Bowl are the best – the ones who have made the calls the best. Now, the problem with that is obvious. The best line judge is on a different crew than the best umpire, and the best umpire is on a different – you know, they're both on different crews than the best field judge, and the back judge is on another crew. So you get these guys that haven't worked together thrown into these games as playoff things. Now, some of them have worked together in years past, mm-hmm. but the crew they're on now, they're all different. So that's what you run into, and they don't do it by crews of nine guys where they say, okay, like, you know, Ed Hockley, your crew is going to do this game, and this crew is going to do that game. They start busting them up for the big games and as a reward. That's been a criticism, but it's also been something that's made these guys accountable. So I don't know how they're going to do it with the full-time employees, whether they'll get an extra boost just because they're full-time, or they're going to have to earn it even after they're full-time ahead of guys who aren't full-time.
Hey, Steve, thanks for coming in. Have a great broadcast tonight. I think
you'll It's going to be fun. It's always fun. First preseason, plus here at home. It's going to be a beautiful night.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Tasker from the NFL on CBS, Bills Wall of Famer, the great special teamer in for the Bills. And, of course, he's on the broadcast tonight. The Bills and the Minnesota Vikings, 7 o'clock on Channel 7 in Buffalo, on Wham TV in Rochester, Wham 13, and on WTVH in Syracuse. Donald and I back. We're going to talk about the Vikings when we return, tonight's opponent with their play-by-play man. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, which is a beehive of activity right now as the Bills are just 5 hours away from their preseason opener. The Buffalo Bills and the Minnesota Vikings at 7 o'clock. We've got the call of the game on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, starting with the pregame show at 5 o'clock, kickoff at 7. The starters expected to play a quarter, give or take. According to head coach Sean McDermott, it is McDermott's first appearance on the sidelines in an NFL game as the head coach. The Bills and the Minnesota Vikings coming up at 7 o'clock tonight here in Orchard Park. Around the NFL, the league is ready to hire 24 full-time officials from among the current roster of officials. That announcement made yesterday. The program will allow current officials who want to transition to a full-time role the opportunity to apply. They are not guaranteed a job. Full-time officials will be hired at each of the 7 officiating positions. Last night, the second week of preseason got underway with the Carolina Panthers beating the Houston Texans 27-17 in Carolina. Texans rookie Deshaun Watson's pro debut, and it went pretty well. Bill O'Brien, Texans coach, said first game out he did some good things, and he is a smart and distinct instinctive player. The competition for the San Francisco 49ers starting center job is over. The Niners released veteran center Jeremy Zuta, the former Baltimore Raven, who was expected to compete with Daniel Kilgore after less than 2 weeks of training camp. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert says running back Le'Veon Bell has nothing to gain by holding out and is only hurting himself. He has yet to sign his franchise tender. He cannot be fined for his absence since he does not have a signed contract yet. Elsewhere in baseball, the Cleveland Indians acquired veteran outfielder Jay Bruce from the Mets yesterday in a trade. The Indians have agreed to pick up the roughly $4.2 million that is left on Jay Bruce's salary. And the PGA Championship is underway, the 99th PGA Championship, held just outside Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Quail Hollow Club. PGA Championship is underway right now. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones here on game day. And it's a game day for the Bills' opponents, obviously, the Minnesota Vikings. Joining us now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline is a man who is the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings. And we're happy to have Paul Allen on the line with us. Paul, John Murphy and Donald Jones here. Thanks for taking time out of your game day preps to join us on the show for a couple of minutes. We appreciate it.
John, Donald, how are you?
We're doing well, getting ready for the game. We've been asking our listeners and viewers, Paul, what they hope to see from the Bills tonight. What do you think the Vikings hope to get a look at tonight in this preseason opener?
Well, you know, the Minnesota Vikings defense, ever since Mike Zimmer took over as head coach, has been really good. And, you know, at times last year, for instance, the defensive line led the NFL in sacks last year. So they've done some really, really good things, but it fell off badly at the end of the year when the team got killed against Indianapolis and Green Bay. So now, you know, given some of the best players defensively have now been in this system every year Zimmer has been here, you know, there are aspirations to have the best overall defense in the NFL. I mean, points per game, sacks, takes, defensive touchdowns, stuff like that. So if that's the case and that's been the offseason theme, you know, when they're going against Tyrod Taylor and some of the better Bills this evening, you know, I'd like to see them to start shutting down people tonight.
Hey, Paul, we took notice of the fact that in the Mike Zimmer era, the Vikings have done well in preseason. I think 12 wins, one loss over his first three seasons. Do they approach preseason differently than many teams? Do they play starters longer? How do you account for that 12-1 record?
Yeah, that's interesting because the only loss they took was the fourth preseason game at Nashville last year. When it comes to playing the ones and or the twos, you know, this is my 16th year working with this team, and you know, whether it's Mike Tice, Brad Childress, Leslie Frazier, or now Mike Zimmer, it's pretty much been the same. You know, where like Sam Bradford, Dalvin Cook, defensively, Everson Griffin, Linval Joseph, Danielle Hunter, some of the better players, they'll play 8 to 15 plays tonight. Now,
you know, if the offense goes three and out, then I fully expect it to come back and try to put together some form of drive. But, you know, it's weird how the record has worked out that way. But they are very competitive, and they stay competitive for all four quarters.
Now, you talked about Sam Bradford. Last year, he got off, and the team actually got off to a good start, and then everything just died off once you, like you said, they took that loss with Indianapolis. What do we expect to see from Sam Bradford? How's he looked in training camp, and how should he look tonight?
You know what, Donald? It was amazing what he accomplished last year, and I didn't really realize that until I kind of tore it down at the end of the season and looked back at it, you know, when we were able to reflect a little, because he was traded to the Vikings two Saturdays before their first game after Teddy Bridgewater went down with a knee injury. So, I mean, Sam's very smart, has a very good arm, and obviously with the first overall pick in the draft, Brett, has really good pedigree. You know, but you just didn't know what to expect, given he had just gotten here and it was a whirlwind, man. I mean, you look at Sam and he was like confused and everything because he couldn't believe what happened. He got traded. But then at the end of the equation, he threw for 3,877 yards, 20 touchdowns, 5 picks, set an NFL record for completion percentage at 71. And this was all, you know, with two coordinators because North Turner left the team middle of the season. You know, so now I think looking at Sam's next step, he was much more comfortable this offseason than he was at any point last season. Specifically when you see him in the huddle and on the sidelines, he's taken on more of that leadership role because he better feels like he belongs. To have him pass for 4,000 yards this year, you know, even though they're not going to talk about it, I think it's attainable. Now the Vikings have only had three guys since 1995, Warren Moon, Dante Culpepper, and Brett Favre, throw for 4,000 yards or more. So it's a daunting task, but Sam's really, really good.
On the line with Paul Allen, 16 seasons as the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings. Sam Bradford is a more than capable replacement. But Teddy Bridgewater, a lot of people are, you know, wondering where his future lies, Paul. And there is no timetable yet for when he might be able to return a year removed from his knee injury?
No, not really. I mean, he's been rehabbing, and you know, I think he's way ahead of schedule from what was an unbelievably significant and damaging knee injury late August last year. I mean, it was unbelievable. If the certified athletic trainer and the staff had not acted the way they did at that moment for like a key 20-minute span, you know, then Teddy may never have been able to play again. Mm. So they saved that there. Now, he, you know, when I watch him in minicamp and organized team activities and training camp, he's never with the team. He's always off on the side rehabbing. So to predict that he would start the season on the physically unable to perform list, I think would be the right bet here. But he's ahead of schedule, and, you know, I do believe he will be part of the team again one day.
Now, if they're so, I guess, excited about Sam Bradford, where does that leave Teddy Bridgewater? Will he decide to?
That's an excellent question, man. I mean, it's the biggest talker here that, I mean, Donald, you played, and John, you've done this a long time. So, you know, you can roll up to the right people who have the right answer, and you can get it and keep it private. But this isn't one that really I tap on anybody for because I think it's very touchy. You know, we won a division 2 years ago with Teddy, went 11-5. Played a playoff game against Seattle where Bridgewater was spectacular in the fourth quarter against Seattle's defense, and it was like minus 20 that day. And then we lost on this freakish missed field goal at the end of the game. So the future was unbelievably bright with Teddy. Now Sam comes in, and, you know, honestly, and I love Teddy, man. I've known him every second he's been here. Sam throws a better ball than Teddy, you know, but when the offensive line breaks down, and we had a bad offensive line last year with no running game, you kind of need a quarterback to move a little bit, and Sam doesn't move much, and Teddy moves incredibly well. So there are positives and negatives with the whole thing, you know, but Teddy was sitting on a lot of money with his second contract, and then this knee happened. So, you know, now you get into the financial particulars of it, where if Teddy goes to the pup, that changes things for the next year of his deal. If he's like the third quarterback, that keeps him in play to make X amount of dollars. And Sam's in the final year of his deal. Now, I mean, if Sam blows up this year, you can franchise him next year for 23, but then what do you do with Teddy? So the whole thing is very convoluted. It's very weird.
Hey, Paul, thanks for your time today. We will both earn our money tonight, won't we, with 90 players aside and the usual.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Yeah. You know, it bugs me when fans get bored with preseason football because there are so many position battles and so many great stories. I mean, look at your co-host, Donald Jones, undrafted from Youngstown, was able to fight his way onto a roster into the league, last to make some money. And that's what preseason is about, you know, players like that showing they belong, and I can't wait.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. We get immersed in this stuff, and so you really are eager to see how the observations you've made the last 2 weeks, how they start to play out. Yeah. It'll be fun tonight.
I want to see. I mean, guys look so good in practice, Paul, but can they make that transition to games? That's my biggest thing.
Yeah, but guess what? I mean, if they don't make the active 53, that 90 grand on the practice squad ain't bad.
Yeah, right. You're right. Hey, Paul, thanks for this. Have a good broadcast tonight. We'll stop by and say hello. Thanks.
Yep, good talking to you guys. Bye.
Okay, Paul Allen is the play-by-play radio voice of the Minnesota Vikings, 16th year in the role there with Minnesota. They're an interesting team, Donald. 8-8, the Vikings. They started 5-0 last year.
Yeah,
with Sam Bradford.
I remember.
They
it was like,
fire.
Oh, man,
yeah,
this team
who are
is,
these guys?
This team is good because when Teddy Bridgewater went down, they had a team that everybody was saying, this team can make it into the playoffs. And then Bridgewater goes down 2 weeks before the season, and everybody's like, oh, man. And then they bring in Sam Bradford. And they start off 5-0, and everybody's like, wow, this team is good. Sam Bradford is looking very good. And then all of a sudden?
Well, they finished 3-8 and finished 8-8 and out of the playoff picture. And they have some holes, you know, and Paul mentioned it. They did not run the ball well at all last year. They were dead last in the NFL in rushing offense last year, 32nd. So you got the number one rushing attack last year in the NFL against the worst rushing attack in the NFL.
And they've tried to bring some guys in to try and solidify that with drafting Dalvin Cook out of Florida
second
State.
Rounder. Yep.
And they brought in Latavius Murray, who was the starting running back for the Oakland Raiders last year. You know, so they have two good running backs. And the interesting thing about that is, I've been reading that Dalvin Cook might end up starting over Latavius Murray.
Yeah, well, Murray's on PUP. I don't think you will see him tonight. He's been banged up a little bit, but Dalvin Cook could be something to watch. I mean, rave reviews out of his career at FSU. He really, you know, so he went in the second round, but he was one of the top two, three running backs in the draft.
I thought so. Now, people might think I'm biased because I'm a Florida State fan, but I felt like this kid is – if not the best running back. And the only thing that hurt him was his 40 time at the combine, you know. And I would expect him to – now, he's like Paul said, he's not going to play much tonight. But I would expect once we get into the season, we're going to see him carry a bulk of the load for that team.
They added Riley Reiff, the former first-round pick from the Lions. He is their starting left tackle, all in an effort to get the running game going. They do have Sam Bradford. Probably get a heavy dose of Case Keenum, the number two quarterback tonight, Rams last year, and Taylor Heinicke. The other quarterback will play. They're impressive on defense, and Mike Zimmer's scheme has a lot to do with that. Linval Joseph, Pro Bowl last year. Everson Griffin, that defensive end,
just
good, solid player. Yep, just got a ton of money. Anthony Barr, the strong side linebacker, very good player. We talked about a little bit yesterday, a couple of first-rounders at the corners, first-rounder at the free safety, Harrison Smith. An impressive defensive team, but a little bit like the Bills. You don't look at the Vikings and say they are a complete team just yet.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. You know, they have some guys that you can name and you would know.
Yeah.
But it's like, do they have a complete team? And that you just don't know. Do they have depth? You know, are their backups good? That's something about the Vikings that you don't know. And quite honestly, you don't know that about the Bills either, right? So
right.
I guess that makes this whole game tonight interesting.
Well, what do you think of the game tonight? We've got lines open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. By the way, Donald and I will be back on the air tomorrow at noon to recap what happened tonight. But what are you looking for from the game tonight? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. It is our Twitter poll, and we've got good response on the Twitter poll. What are you looking for out of the Bills in this first preseason game tonight? About 2,500 votes cast on Twitter already. 41% of you say you want to see some crisp execution on the part of the starters. 31% say you're looking for solid play from the rookies. 19% say smart game management. 9% say something else. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And the other thing is, you can talk about this too. We touched on it with Steve Tasker about the full-time officials. The NFL is going to hire full-time officials, 24 of them this year. Do you think they'll have any impact on the game? Do you, Donald, by the way? If you want to talk about that, you can call us up on that too. What do you think?
The fact that they're full-time, does that have impact? No, I think at the end of the day, they're still human, so they're going to make errors. They're still going to miss things out there on the field. I think what it does impact, though, is the repercussions for missing things. I think that, you know, if you start to miss too many calls, you're a full-time official, and I don't know what the rules will be, but I think things are going to change, you know. And I think because you're a full-time official, you do have more stake in this game than a guy who is part-time, a guy who is a lawyer on the side, you know, and that's really how he makes his money. He's a lawyer on the side. This is your bread and butter, you know. So you every day you wake up, you go to bed thinking about this. If you want to be the best official in the league, you study this stuff, you know, and I think that does. Yeah, I think eventually, long term, it will have an impact on the game. Just
I
not
do
yet.
Too. But and they're phasing it in, which I guess is okay. I wish they, you know, why not take the plunge? But I think they have officials on the field who have the same stake in the game as the players and the coaches is big. I think, you know, people say, well, what do they do? There's only 16, you know, games a week. What in 16 weeks, what do they do the rest of the time? You train. You work at your craft.
Right.
You
just
watch
like
video.
The players and coaches.
Maybe you, you know, maybe you go to camps and springtime practices, mini camps, OTAs, and work there. Maybe you go to some developmental league and work there.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else, you train, try to get better at your craft. There's certainly enough money to pay these guys full time. Will they lose some officials, some veteran experienced officials who don't want to be full-time? Yes.
I think that's why they're phasing it like this.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they're going to lose some key guys. You know, guys that have been very good officials in this league for a long time, but they're also lawyers and doctors on the side. You know, they have something else that they do on the side, and those guys are like, I can't leave what I've, you know, been doing my entire life. Like, I went to school to be a lawyer, you know, I just lucked up and became official, an NFL official. And I might be pretty good at that as well, but that doesn't mean I want to do this full time and leave my job, or I have a business that I have to run as well. It's, I think that's why they're phasing it in. I don't know if they'll ever go full time, just everybody full time official. Maybe at some point, but I think it's going to take some time before they get there.
What are you looking for tonight? What do you think of full time officials? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-552-550. Mike in Tonawanda on the line. Hello, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Murph. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Mike.
Hi, Donald.
What's up?
Oh, yeah. What I'm looking for out of this game, and I know there's a bunch of young guys, and they're just getting it on and whatnot, but a big decrease in penalties. You know, we lost a lot of games because of that kind of stuff last year.
Which games did they lose because of penalties, do you think, Mike?
Well, I'm not a Murph. they lost even the year before, they were like one of the most penalized teams in the league.
Are you sure about that? I don't know
yeah,
that that's
I'm not,
true.
I'm not sure the exact numbers. And Mike, you'll have a lot of people that will say, you know, penalties don't directly correlate with wins and losses.
They don't.
Well, I think it was tough for them because of the Rex Ryan era, and, you know, he had that defense being, you know, so intricate and everything, and you know, you catch a guy, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I just know there was a ton of penalties, and I remember it being said that the Bills were one of the most penalized.
They were.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would love for them to clean up the penalties, especially things like you know, last year you had Jerry who headbutts a guy, and you know, things like that you gotta clean up. Now, offsides, pass interference, those types of things are gonna happen throughout the course of a game. Holding calls, yeah, you wanna clean it up, but it's just gonna happen. The other guy's getting paid too, you know, and so it happens. But unsportsmanlike stuff, yeah, you have to clean that stuff up.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Doug in Seattle. Hello, Doug, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much.
So I just wanted to call and kind of reflect on what we just talked about, the whole staff change there. I'm excited to see Leslie Frazier coach because, if you remember, he was Minnesota's head guy. And so I know it's just a preseason game, but I'm sure that he's going in with a little bit in the tank. He's going to have that game plan looking pretty good. And I know it's preseason, might not have a game plan, you know, really, but I think he'll have that defense looking sharp. It's the first game. He wants to look good, and I'm also excited to see McDermott on the sideline because he's been in the booth most of his career as a defensive coordinator. So I'm excited to see the presence of the coaching staff.
Okay. What do you think of that, Don?
Yeah, I mean, we had Coach Frazier on the show last week, right? Yeah, last
Monday,
week.
Monday, wasn't it?
Was
Did
it Monday?
Say, I don't know.
I don't know. Days of they're coming together on us. We had him on the show, and he talked about it.
Monday.
We asked him
Monday.
This. Yeah, and he talked about this. He knows people, obviously, in that organization, and he'll talk to them once they get to the stadium tonight. But at the end of the day, he's a pro and he has a job to do, you know, and that job is to get his guys ready. And we all know in the preseason, they don't, everything is vanilla, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They want to just let these guys fly around. We've already talked about how this defense is not as complex as it was last year. Today it's going to probably just be line up in this. This is what we do. Go out there and make plays. So
don't give anything away.
Right.
Trent calling from Rochester. Hello, Trent.
How you doing, guys? And I have to add it. I am the number one Bills fan.
So. Number one Bills fan, Trent.
Yeah, I'm just branding it. But as far as tonight goes, I agree with the last caller and Donald about Leslie Frazier. But what we get from letting the guys fly around and keeping it basic is you get the athletic ability of all of these guys on defense. But on offense, I really want to see Tyrod show his improvements on his footwork, his progressions, how fast the ball gets out and those things. So that's what I'm watching for the most, because I believe overall he has more detractors than anyone else on that team. So that's what I'm hoping for. And, of course, they're going to play a whole quarter. So, I'm starving for football. Let's have a good game, and I hope the Bills win.
Trent, you're the number one Bills fan. Are you coming to the game tonight?
Absolutely. I wouldn't be the number one Bills fan.
I had to challenge him.
He's branding himself as number one Bills fan.
Of course he's the number one fan. He's going to be here. Donald, Tyrod said something interesting, I think, at the podium the other day about it reminded me when Trent, number one Bills fan, mentioned this about Tyrod and his footwork. I don't know if you'll be able to evaluate that, but Tyrod said something about learning how to listen to his feet when he's back in the pocket.
Listen to his feet.
Yeah, and I thought I'd like to follow up on that. We've got to get Tyrod on the show.
Yeah,
what do you think he means there? You talk about how he's been coached by Rick Dennison and the new coaching staff, and he talked about they're teaching me that I have to listen to my feet. This all goes into getting the ball out on time, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely getting the ball out on time. Because here's the thing. When Tyrod, when he drops back, first of all, he can't think about looking at the offensive line. He has to be able to maneuver in the pocket and make throws, you know. So if bodies are flying around, you got to be able to feel it, make those, you know, just step up, step side to side and make the throws. But then when he's dropping back, you know, if it's a five-step drop, I want you to take five steps, hitch, and throw, you know. And I think it's just a feel type of thing.
Like a rhythm type thing?
Where you don't have to think about it, you know. And I think it's the same thing for a wide receiver. It's like you can tell if a wide receiver who was young and inexperienced – typically, you don't see this up at this level, but especially in college and in high school, when they say, look, take five steps and go to break onto your route, when guys are counting the steps, you know, you got to be able to feel this stuff out there because there's so much going on during the course of a play. You got to be able to feel it, and I think it's the same way for a quarterback.
I thought that was interesting. We're going to talk more about tonight's game. We'll get more comments from you. What are you looking for? We've got fake news, real news coming up. And if you have a thought on full-time officials, we'll entertain those thoughts as well. A lot left to talk about and only about 35 minutes left to talk about it. So come on back and hurry up. Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Donald and I back with more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
If you're following our show today on MSG on the video side, you are looking live at New Era Field where the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings are getting set to play at 7 o'clock. Those of you listening on the radio, we got a shot of the stadium up there. Looks good, Donald.
It does. It looks finally like something is about
There's
to go down in the stadium.
On the sideline. What are those logos on the side?
Which ones?
At the 25-yard line. I wish play football, I guess it says.
That
looks good.
It does say play football. Yeah. It is. It's time to play football.
I don't know how many people will be here tonight, you know. I mean, it's a beautiful night. I do think there's kind of a renewed interest the last couple of weeks in what this team is all about. I don't know. I would think 40 to 50,000 maybe for this game tonight.
Probably
something
like that. Yeah, I would think somewhere in there, 35, 40,000 people in the stadium tonight. It's gonna, like you said, it's going to be a beautiful night. I don't think all the tickets that are already sold are the only people that's coming. I think still more people are going to come and buy tickets and go.
Good seats still available for the Bills and the Vikings. We're talking to you about that game, what you're looking for tonight. Our Twitter poll deals with that. What are you most looking forward to seeing from this game tonight from the Buffalo Bills? What do you really look forward to seeing? You can weigh in on Twitter. You can give us a call. Right now on our Twitter poll, with a couple of minutes left in the Twitter poll, most of you say you're looking for crisp execution from the starters, 41%. 31% say you're looking for solid play from rookies. 19% say you're looking for smart game management. 9% say you're looking for something else. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. We're talking about penalties being a problem. The Bills led the league in penalties in 2015. Last year, they got it down to 10th overall. I do think they got it under control a little bit. Carl on the line from Clarence wants to have has a comment about penalties as well. Go ahead, Carl. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Great show. Yeah, I can't tell you definitively what games were lost because of penalties, but I do know this. Once you get a penalty, especially a 15-yarder, and especially when it stops the it negates the first down, now that's it. You have no choice. You have no chance at possibly 8 points. And you're giving the other team the possibility of 8 points. And you could even take it further than that, because now if we sustain a drive, you're eating more time off the clock. So that's got to stop. I think it's going to this year. Oh, I don't know if it's going to stop, but it's going to get cut down, I'm pretty sure. And it's got to the point here with the Bills. It's almost embarrassing.
Again, there's no correlation statistically between number of penalties and wins and losses. That's proven fact, and it's been that way for decades. The penalties you talk about are definite game changers, you know, any 15-yard penalty, unsportsmanlike conduct, illegal contact, or whatever they call it, 15 yards. Those are problems. There were too many of those, I think, 2 years ago especially. I think the Bills cut down on them last year, and I don't know what that has to do with, where they are right now. Fewer penalties, I'm on board. Do I think that'll mean the difference between, 7 wins and 10 wins? No, I don't.
I don't really know. I know there are certain situations where you don't want to have a penalty, right? Now, like I keep saying, the 15-yarders, unsportsmanlike stuff, you can't have that. Those penalties you can't have. But other penalties like holding, like pass interference, which is a spot foul in this league, offsides, things like that, they happen. You don't want guys to jump offsides, but it happens. Like the quarterbacks get paid to force you to jump offsides. Like, I mean, that's just – it happens, right? So – unsportsmanlike, we need to cut down on, but at the end of the day, it doesn't directly correlate between wins and losses.
Doesn't.
I mean, it doesn't. Now, if you have let's just say, and the coaches will always say this, when you have a holding call or something like that, let's just say you get the ball on the 20, 25-yard line, and you're starting a drive. If you have a holding call, or even you just jump off sides, a false start, it does decrease your chances of picking up a first down and continuing that drive. You know, it does that. But that does not mean that you're going to lose the game because you had that penalty.
A call here from Robert in Amherst. Go ahead, Robert. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Yes. John, my opinion on the Bills this season, I think the Bills.
Robert, you got to talk to us. Turn down the radio or TV.
Well, I feel good about the Bills. I think they'll win 10 games. I feel very good about them.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Robert feels good about the Bills. Time now for Fake News, Real News, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Donald and I sift through all of the information that comes across our desk dealing with the NFL, fake or real. Patriots, Vince Wilfork. Talking about him again. We won't make you deal with that again.
Yeah.
But obviously a big man. And in his news conference yesterday, Bill Belichick, his coach, said he never once saw Wilfork botch a weigh-in or a conditioning test. Fake or real? I'll go with real.
Gotta go real.
How are you gonna
take him on his word, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that. I'll go real on that as well. I think Vince Wilfork is a pro, and just because he's a big man doesn't mean that he couldn't control his weight, you know? And me knowing him, and when I got there and seeing him actually train and work out and how he works, how hard he works, no, I don't think he has failed a physical or failed a weigh-in.
Belichick's quote, it's surprising but true. Vince never one time was fined for being overweight, never one time missed the conditioning test. He says the conditioning test was never even close because Wilfork could run. Never an issue. Wilfork said sometimes the weigh-ins were close.
I'm sure they were close. I'm sure they were close, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't fail it. And especially the conditioning test. I mean, the conditioning test is like, he works hard. This dude really works. I don't care what, you know, you feel like, oh, we just want to keep showing this play, huh? I don't care what.
Looked like he was in shape on that play.
He definitely was in shape. The dude is fast, but he does just work hard. He works hard. I don't care how you feel he looks on TV. That dude is a lot of muscle.
Yeah. All right, fake or real on this issue. Jay Cutler signed with the Dolphins a couple of days ago, and a writer, David Steele from Sporting News, said this proves that Colin Kaepernick will not play in 2017. The Cutler signing means Kaepernick will not find a team in 2017. Fake or real? I'm going to go fake. I still think somewhere out there somebody's going to be desperate. Yes, desperate. And much of it, because of Colin Kaepernick's skill set and then, of course, the off-field baggage. But I do think a desperate team at some point is going to sign Colin Kaepernick to a roster this year. I think this is fake.
I think I got to lean real on this one. I'm starting to think he's not going to play in 2017 and never going to play again in the National Football League. When you have the owner of the Miami Dolphins, who is the one owner who is standing up and saying, somebody needs to sign this guy, and then you go and sign Jay Cutler, it's like, really? You know? And then you have a Baltimore owner who says things like, pray for us. It's like, all right. It's starting for me to seem like this guy's never going to play. So I'm leaning towards real.
But yeah, that would be, I'm not going to say tragic, but that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hasn't committed a crime.
Right.
You know, I don't think he's real good, by the way. I don't think he's a really good quarterback,
passer. There are a lot of not good quarterbacks in this league that are on teams and making money, you know. And you have you also have on teams guys that have committed real crimes.
Yeah.
Still playing.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, whatever.
Fake news, real news, part three. Full-time officials will have minimal impact. That's what our buddy Ross Tucker, the former Bills offensive lineman, who has a great podcast and does a lot of work for SiriusXM NFL Radio, he believes that full-time officials will have minimal impact, fake or real. Do you want to go first on this?
Full-time officials, I think this year, yeah, it's going to have minimal impact.
So you're going real with
that? I'm going real with this one.
All right. I will say fake because I do think, and we already talked about this a little bit, down the line, 3-5 years from now, when all the officials are full-time, I think it will have a good effect on the game. I think the accountability for the officials will make a difference in terms of and not the calls, the individual calls they will make, but more importantly, the level of overall professionalism that will be in the game,
right.
The accountability that being full-time officials. I do think that it will have a good impact on the game down the line. This year, you know, not much. Tucker's tweet, full-time refs will have minimal, if any, impact on games, feel more like a PR move as much as anything. No, Ross. No, it's a step in the right direction. The first step in the right direction, I think, to getting the officials on board with the other people down on the sidelines, players and coaches, having a full-time stake, their livelihood at stake every time they go out there. I think that's important.
I know the officials have a lot on their plate. I totally understand that. They have a lot on their plate, right? But the fact that you, during the week, you go and you are a lawyer or something like that, you're not paying attention to the game this week. Like, there are times, and you call the games, Murph, so there are times when you're watching a game and the ref just, he says something crazy, and it's like, what? Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. You know, and he has to come back out and correct himself. I understand you got a lot on your plate, but if you're not fully dialed into this thing, what are we doing?
Well, another thing, and this goes to the point of what do they do in the offseason. One of the things they can do, I believe, is work in conjunction with the competition committee and the owners who change the rules and get real-life feedback of what that call is like on the field and what it looks like to call pass interference or what it looks like to call holding. And, you know, if those guys are full-time officials who may have to report to New York to the league office once a month for meetings and seminars and, hey, what should we do to clean up the catch and no-catch rule? Let's get some input from the guys on the field who actually make the call.
Yeah.
They're full-time, you can demand that. And they're part-time, I don't know that you have the same hold on them. I think that would long-term benefit the game. That's why I think it will have impact on the game down the road. Not so much this year, but down the road.
Yeah, I think it'll help out long-term.
Yeah, me too. All right, fake news, real news. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Got a few minutes left for you if you'd like to join us on the show to talk about tonight's football game. Donald and I will give you our thoughts on who to keep an eye on in this game when we return. One more segment to go, the John Murphy Show.
Stock up.
Stock up. Yeah, we can do that. And more importantly, who we keep an eye on tonight.
Right,
who to watch.
Cool.
We got more to come. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. We'll be right back.
the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Steve Tasker in studio with us for the 1 o'clock hour, and he talked about what young players go through in these preseason games like tonight's.
You got young players out there that they think their entire universe is going to come crashing down if they jump off sides or if they drop a pass, and you know it's just not the case. They attach way too many consequences to this game, and it hinders the way they play. It's just as simple as that. Yeah. They can't relax and play because they're worried about their assignments. They're worried about making mistakes.
Steve Tasker on how the young guys approach a preseason game. We also talked with Paul Allen. He is the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings for the last 16 years. We know where the Bills are at going into this preseason game. And we asked him about the expectations for the Vikings going into the 2017 season.
Given some of the best players defensively have now been in this system every year Zimmer has been here, you know, there are aspirations to have the best overall defense in the NFL. I mean, points per game, sacks, takes, defensive touchdowns, stuff like that. So if that's the case, and that's been the offseason theme, you know, when they're going against Tyrod Taylor and some of the better Bills this evening, you know, I'd like to see them to start shutting down people tonight.
That's the goal for the Minnesota Vikings. What are you looking for? What are you looking for from the Buffalo Bills in tonight's first preseason game? That has been our Twitter poll today. And as we wrap that up, most of you are looking for crisp execution, some sharpness on the part of the Buffalo Bills starters on our Twitter poll. About 41% of you say that's first and foremost on your list. 31% of you say you're looking for a solid play from the rookies on the roster. 19% say you're looking for smart game management. 9% say something else. Anthony in Lockport on the line. Anthony, what are you looking for from tonight's preseason game?
The thing that I'm most looking forward to is last year preseason, there's a specific player who, in my opinion, was a standout on the Bills roster. However, he didn't see a lot of time in the regular season. His name is Walt Powell. I believe during the first 3 weeks of preseason, he led the entire NFL in all-purpose yards. I don't know if he finished the preseason first, but I know he was at the top of the list for a while. And I'd be really interested to see what he does this game and the rest of them for the rest of the preseason.
Interesting. Walt Powell, one of the down-the-line receivers. And he had some moments last year. You're right about that, Anthony.
He definitely had moments in the preseason last year. And then, you know, he didn't really play much in the regular season. I think Walt Powell has had, you know, he's not one of the receivers that are standing out, you would say, in training camp. He's had a solid training camp, mm-hmm. I would say. The problem is his suspension. You know, he has the suspension. So, yes, he needs to have a great preseason, like literally needs to have a great preseason with these games to show these coaches that he deserves and to so that they keep him during his suspension. You know, I think he needs to have a great one. A
couple of guys I'm most looking forward to seeing tonight as far as individuals. One of them, Rod Streeter, who's had a really good couple of weeks of training camp. Mm-hmm. I anticipate Rod Streeter's going to get a lot of playing time tonight, making a strong bid for a roster spot. Obviously, the addition of Anquan Boldin complicates things at the wide receiver spot, but he's a guy that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Yarbrough, you know, the guy who came out of nowhere, really. He was in camp with the Bills going back to the spring. But he's a guy to watch for tonight, Eddie Yarbrough, who is going to get a lot of playing time. We talked about Ryan Davis suffering from the concussion. Probably won't get too much of a – well, he won't play tonight. And so Yarbrough will get his reps. And I'm looking at – you know, I'm looking at, Donald, the guy who probably is going to maybe surprise some people, Jordan Mills, who I think has done a pretty good job in fighting off the challenge from the rookie Deion Dawkins. That battle's not over yet. I don't know how it's going to you know, when the dust settles, how it's going to play out. But I think Jordan Mills has done a pretty good job, still with the ones, probably be with the ones tonight. And I'm going to keep an eye on him tonight. Those are the three guys I'm going
to
watch for.
That's a good one to watch for, Jordan Mills. I think he's in a battle for his job, but I think he has done a good job. For me, I'm looking at T.J. Yates. I want to see what T.J. Yates has in games because, honestly, in practices, he just hasn't looked that good to me. And then Nathan Peterman. The same way, you know, he shows flashes. He'll throw a good ball, and then he's off, which you kind of expect that from a rookie, but not mm-hmm. T.J. Yates. The backup running backs, Tolbert I don't expect to see much of tonight, but Banyard, Cedric O'Neal, Jordan Johnson, all those guys behind them. I want to see. And even Jonathan Williams.
One of those guys, the three you mentioned, I think Jonathan Williams is okay, you know, as far as holding on to his roster spot and his role. One of those guys, though, Banyard, O'Neal, and Jordan Johnson, I think one of those guys, and probably only one, is going to emerge either this week or next Thursday night as the contender. And we'll still have an uphill climb to get to the roster.
Still have an uphill climb.
But don't you think one of those guys is going to break off a couple of nice runs?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe catch a pass, do a pretty good job, and maybe after tonight, one of those three, again, it's Banyard, O'Neal, or Jordan Johnson, one of those three is going to be the guy who people keep an eye on.
One of those three, you know, and they still, even if they come out and have a great night, they still have an uphill climb to make this roster. It's just the reality of the situation, but they have to make plays on offense, like good plays on offense, and then run down and make tackles on special teams.
Yeah, and this goes to what Paul Allen from the Vikings radio said. You know, when you're around it and you're watching practice almost every day for 2 weeks, you develop an interest, a rooting interest in many cases. Let's see who it's going to be. It's fun for me.
The last guy, Logan Thomas, for me.
Yeah.
I want to see Logan Thomas come out here and make plays. I'm actually rooting for him.
Yeah. All right. We'll be there tonight. We'll be calling the game on the radio on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, with the pregame starting at 5, kickoff at 7 o'clock for the Bills and the Minnesota Vikings. And Donald and I are right back here tomorrow at noon to wrap it up and talk more about it from 12 noon to 3 p.m. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Brayton Wilson is our intercom board op today. Production assistants from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltenek, Thomas Hollander, Ryan Dukearm, Jess Pappas. Our producer is Jay Harris. Enjoy the game tonight, everybody. If you're coming to the game or if you're watching on TV, hopefully listening on the radio. And we'll talk about it here tomorrow at 12 noon. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, will be live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.